Hi, I'm Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot, and I'm very pleased to be here with Ashiana Dean. And basically, I think I'm going to let you do your own introduction as to who you are and some of your background. You know, it's interesting to hear you talk about yourself just briefly, because we're going to be talking about the material most of the time. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I would say that you are the author of the Voyager books. Part of the appeal is for people to kind of get your personality. Right. And if you get a question that you're not quite prepared for, your personality will start to show.
Well, it's showing. What do you do with that? I don't know how to describe myself.
No,
you can describe me.
And it's very delightful, so I don't think you have anything to worry about. So, but at any rate, you want to say you've come here to teach about ascension.
Yes.
Would that be accurate?
Yes.
At this time
accurate.
On the planet?
Yes. And I'm known as Speaker 1 in the Melchizedek Cloister Emerald Order, and that was a commission that was given to me. And the other two speakers, there are three of us, are present in the room with us.
Okay. You're an American citizen?
Yes.
In this life?
Yes.
Okay. And where did you grow up? In what state?
I was born in Pennsylvania, and okay. I was raised in Pennsylvania and New York, and then moved to New Jersey, and then moved to Florida, and then to England, and then to Arizona, and then to Colorado, and then back to Florida.
Okay. So you've been around?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
Actually following spiritual guidance, we were asked to move. Once it was past the childhood and adolescent times, the moves were following what I was advised to do by the Guardian Alliance.
Okay, wonderful. And you are in touch with what you call the Guardian Alliance?
That's what they call themselves.
Okay.
Yes.
And do you consider yourself a channeler? Because I'm aware of what it is you do, but I'm going to ask you questions that may seem wrong. Okay?
And, feel free.
And so at that point, you can correct me, and it's totally fine.
It is not channeling. In fact, we teach against channeling because it's dangerous. It is a process of electronic data streaming that it's quite sophisticated, but it doesn't work like channeling. Channeling involves literally another entity coming in and sharing a body with you, and that is not permitted in our teachings because it can actually damage your DNA. This is an electronic data streaming called Keelantic transmission. And it is literally electronic data streaming, but interdimensionally, as opposed to simply on the horizontal like we do it here. And that is the way that the Guardian Alliance communicates with me and has since childhood. But they have also, in my younger years, I had both negative abductions with negative groups of visitors, and it was the Guardian Alliance that actually rescued me from those situations. And I learned a lot about why I had the experiences. It had to do with the contract I came in with. It takes most people quite a few years to wake up and realize what they came in to do, what they birthed in to do. And that was why I had the issues with the with Zetas and things like that when I was in my younger years. By the time I was 12, the Guardians had begun teaching me for the commission that I later learned what it was, for Speaker 1 for the Melchizedek Cloister Emerald Order. And it's once that became clear, the experiences weren't frightening before they were frightening, the abduction experiences. And the ones with the Guardians weren't, though. They were very different. They didn't involve little rays, and they didn't involve spaceships. They involved literal teleportation through Merkaba vehicle and those kind of things. So it's been a colorful way to get to the point where I am here teaching the material that I'm teaching. It's been very interesting and colorful. In the first few years, I was required to speak about that a lot. That's why I don't like to speak about myself anymore. I'm honestly bored with the subject of me, right? Because the first few years that we went public with the books and everything, it was all about me and my story, and I'm tired of my story. It's out there, go read it if you want to, but this is the interesting stuff, the information we're teaching. So
I totally honor the fact that you've told your story many times, and it is out there, and so I do encourage people to go out and investigate her background, to watch other audio and video presentations she's done, because they're excellent, and I have watched a few of them, and I'd love to watch more. And she's an excellent speaker, and so I do encourage you to investigate if you're watching this. So what I'd like to do from here is really get into what the agenda is of what we call the service to self, or negative-oriented ETs, mm-hmm. visitors, mm-hmm. What have you. And then if you could talk about that, and then if you could also talk about what the positive side, service to others, is doing, what their objective is in being in contact with us here, mm-hmm. and so on. So that's where we want to go.
Okay. Do we have to take the short road, or can we take the more interesting road?
Let's take the interesting road.
Okay. Because the interesting road, by the time we get to answering that question, will make a lot more sense. And the interesting road does have to do with some of the other questions. When I, you know, we'd asked you that, you know, just give us a few questions or something that you're planning to ask. You listed a couple things like, you know, essential mechanics, the human race and where it's going and this kind of thing. There is a way to explain this. That we've been working for 10 years. Every workshop, this is our 84th coming up, and every one is new information. It's the next level of information. So we have been, the Guardian Alliance has been providing us with progressively growing teachings since the Voyagers books were out. Very, very technical teachings on ascension, on stargates, on understanding planetary stargates, galactic stargates, universal stargates, how they all work, what the process of ascension is, all of this thing. In understanding some of those things, like what is a stargate anyway, what is ascension anyway, right? In understanding some of those, it brings us to the point of where we actually are now on the planet, which explains what is going on with the visitors. It explains what their agenda is, why they're doing what they're doing, and what we can do about it, because there is a negative and positive side to this. But the picture is much bigger than most people realize. Even people in the UFO movement and people in the New Age movement, they have pieces of the story. When I found out what this story was as it progressed, because I had my cellular memory turned on for a while, I had incarnational memory since I was very small, so it was not new to me. But when the Guardians revealed progressively the scope of this drama, I was horrified at first, honestly. I was terrified and moved past that to the point of realizing, wow, I mean, it is so tiny, the little dramas that we're worrying about here. This is much, much bigger. And the reason the information is important now, and for 10 years we hardly did any media at all. We didn't do interviews. We had a couple little interviews, and we turned down a lot of radio interviews and that kind of thing, because we wanted to kind of just fly under the radar and do our things. We do our workshops. People come to our workshops. We didn't heavily advertise them. The reason why we're coming out and speaking now is because the Guardian Alliance has asked us to. They are on now what is called Official Disclosure Protocol, because of things that are occurring. 2012 is very important, and so are the periods right after it. To coin a phrase from Anderson Cooper's show, Planet in Peril, yes, to put it mildly. So if I can explain some of the things that are taking place now in a certain, it's a sequence, and you're free to interrupt at any point.
Okay.
Right? But it will help get a little bit to the more full understanding of what are the visitors up to, what is their agenda, and where are we at with that situation. It'll also include the information you said, you know, what about stargates and what are the status of those. It will show where that is.
Right.
And it's like the quickest sequence you can do, right? This has been, you know, 10 years worth of work. Now we can look back and see what this is all about and see where it's going. So if you don't mind, I will, you know, put a couple charts up. The first thing like to do, if we're going to talk about what is happening on the planet now, it does involve ascension, and ascension does involve stargates, but what is ascension anyway? There's a quick way to explain this, and it has to do with graphs. And I use graphs because, seriously, pictures paint 1,000 words. If it hadn't been, and all of these graphs are literally transmitted from the Guardian Alliance, and I take them down by hand, and because I don't have computer art skills, so they've all been done in, like, you know, black and white form, and then thanks to a team of volunteers, I put a lot of work into putting them into computer, you know, finishing, so they're decent, most of them are. You can tell the ones that are still the ones I did on a photocopier, you know, with a photocopier. But this one, this particular diagram, and also I will qualify these by saying, you're going to see diagrams that are one out of, there might have been 50 diagrams in that series explaining every piece of how that worked, what it is, the structure of it, and all of this. I'm just going to show certain diagrams that will show structure, because structure is important. Science here is getting into quantum physics and all of those things, and oh, maybe there's dark matter and all these wonderful maybes. there is a whole order of these things. Yes, there's dark matter. Yes, quantum physics are real, but they have no idea the structures that are involved. This is not a haphazard cosmos or universe. Some of these things, if you're going to understand what ascension is, you need to understand what context is happening in. And that's why the Guardians gave us the context in the first place. In the early days, they taught us about 15-dimensional physics. And that's not meaning there's only 15 dimensions. Dimensions run in sets of 15. And there are many, many, many different sets of 15-dimensional matrices that have a particular order that form galaxies, universes, cosmoses, plural. It is a multi-cosmos, not just a multiverse. Now, when you think of ascension and stargates that you ascend through, it implies there is an order of stargates within these greater structures. So I will show you this diagram
first.
Let
me ask you where the diagrams came from. In other words, are you getting this sort of a data stream mm-hmm. electronically, mm-hmm. and when you say that, it's, I am assuming that you're visualizing, maybe you're getting a visualization.
No, I just see them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then are you, how do you transfer them onto the paper? How do you, you know, you draw them, really? Okay.
I'm known as the whiteout queen because a lot of times they'll come down, like one diagram like this, that's all like, you know, looks like a single thing. There'll
Very
be like six different images on it.
Wow.
And like 20 different layers.
Okay.
And I call it a pullback process where the whole big thing comes down in one data stream that it might take me like 6 hours just focus completely on one, getting it all down. And that's even without the words and labels and arrows and stuff. That's just
okay.
getting the shapes and structure. Then we'll pull them out, right? Where I'll make photocopies and white out that part, and then you get that one, white out this part, then you have that one, and you might have a series of 10 of them out of the one that came in. So it's almost like a, what do they call those files where they condense everything? Zip file, yeah. So it comes in like a zip
okay.
file, and when it opens, there's a lot of heat involved, actually. You can feel the DNA activation. It comes through, the chakras activate, and there's like this heat field around me when it's coming through. Or sometimes, depending on the line, because there's different lines, different ones, different levels of the Guardian Alliance communicate, you know, from different places. And some of the lines come in cold, like, you know, shivers. Some of them come in hot.
Okay.
So some of them carry the images. And that's where the images are coming from. And at this point, there are thousands of them. There are thousands of intricate diagrams that,
Fabulous.
You know, come
okay.
in this
yeah,
way.
That's great.
All right. This one, for instance, this is part of a huge series. You know? And this is a very simple one, as you'll see in some later ones that rose. If we can think of this, I wanted to use this as a very simple way to explain what ascension is. Ascension is about evolution. It's actually about re-evolution. The Guardians refer to it as re-evolutionary determinism. Yes, there is a predetermined framework of creation within which creation, you know, occurs. But you have free will within that framework. And you start out as part of the whole. They refer to it as the God Source Consciousness Field. Mm-hmm. And from that place, you can enter into material experience that is all taking place within that God Source Consciousness Field. There is no place outside of God. All of this takes place within the body of the consciousness of God Source. They consider the structures in which and through which matter materializes and forms and identities individuate. They consider that part of the manifest body of God Source. And they're talking about the cosmos as being the manifest body. And there is a field of just pure cognition that is beyond that. It is eternal. It is always aware. Time as we know it in linear form is just not a reality there, but it's understood as an experiential quality within the framework of materialization. So in that context of understanding a little bit about how we look at God and the concept of God, yes, there is one. It's not some big father dude on a, you know, with a big white beard that's going to send you to hell if you're bad, right? There is structure involved in this. Now, we went through what is called Partakai creation, which takes it from the first unit of consciousness in the consciousness field of God that did something and went under certain changes. From those changes, that shape grew and literally created the spherical wheels within wheels or spheres within spheres that is the hidden structure behind all cosmic order and even galactic order, planetary order, and your own body's order and atoms' order. So this, if you think of it as just an example of a cosmos, all right, you have a center point, right, and you have a sphere. Where you see circles, they're actually spheres of energy. All right, you have one sphere, two sphere, and a third one in the center, smaller ones, and then lots of these little ones in the center. What this is showing us is consciousness comes out from the center point into this domain, or this sphere. It's called the Hara body. And first, it individuates into the two larger spheres, and they individuate into sets. And this all happens at the same time, right? It expands outward. These are called, when it expands outward, it's called Ikashi expansion cycles, where consciousness is coming out from the God source consciousness field into the smaller form or structure of materialization and expands out through these cycles simultaneously, one on each side. This particular line is referred to as a vector, time vector, time-space vector. One end of it is referred to as an event horizon. So one time vector has two event horizons, right? Now, here you have a core, here you have an inner, here you have a middle, and here you have an outer domain on each side. Reality fields take place within all of those. So it's not just that there are numerous reality fields. You have ones in the outer bands, you have ones in the middle, inner, and core bands. The process of coming into existence is expanding out through experiential cycles within the Akashic expansion cycle till you get to this point. When you get to this point, now you'll see in this next graph, these are actually time cycles with names. They're called yugas. And when you get to this, which is called the Kali Yuga, there are several options. And one of the options, which is the natural evolutionary process, which is ascension, that is the natural process by which eternal life beings, and most everybody started as eternal life beings, are would naturally undergo. After you expand out, get through the incarnational cycles here, and you would go through what is called a Christ star turnaround, all right, where you enter these little cycles behind. They're called the Adashi return cycles, where they're the going back into source cycles. This is the process. When you expand out, at this point, if you were able to make this Christ star turnaround, your atoms will actually transfigure into eternal life light atoms. And at that point, whatever form you hold there becomes an eternal form that you can materialize and dematerialize at will. You become what's called an Adashi adept. And some people call them ascended masters, but that term is terribly abused on this planet, so the guardians do not like to use it. But the Adashi adepts are the ones who have made it through that change, and they are now what are called Mashayahana individuals, which means they are eternal life and they can manifest, demanifest at will. When they go back through the cycles, go back in the center, and they can actually rebirth as collectives, like as suns and those kind of things. It's an amazing process where a being that, say, is a small, like a human being, can actually evolve, re-evolve, to go back into the state of even being like a sun or a star. And it is an eternal process. There is no death involved in that process. That is the natural process for life forms. So when we're talking about ascension, it is about doing the natural re-evolutionary process. But that is not happening on this planet. When we get to this point of the Kali Yuga expansion, there are other things that can happen too. There are certain qualities about the science of ascension that are very, very much about physics, right? And there are consequences in physics. If things are not working well on a planet, it affects the body of the people who live on it, and the animals who live on it, and the plants who live on it. And if certain things are not working well in the body, the DNA does not function properly, the body will not produce the chemicals, and a particular one called celestylene, that is required in order to allow the atoms to merge with their antiparticles without annihilating. That allows particle and antiparticle to come together, they shift angular rotation of particle spin, and you can literally turn into a radiation wave, and that's what it means actually to go into full Merkaba and be able to go through gates. That is the process by which we go through stargates. So, if we talk about ascension, it is the natural process of being able to expand out. We were out in the Kali Yuga cycles, finally we're out here. Now we have choices. We can ascend, or if we get stuck here, there's another path that we can take. It's called the Kali-Rama path. It is the path of step back. You can go back here to the stage before, and then have to rebirth out again into the cycles in the outer domain, and it's almost like a restart. Do it over again, so hopefully you fulfill all your ascension codes. It's what it's about. It's about activating your atoms to the point where they can fully transfigure. And if you can do it in a cycle again, then you can ascend again. There's another path that can occur here. There are basically three paths. The other one's called the path of Kali-Dhima. That is the path of fall. That is where you get stuck here. You can't step back and you can't go forward because of the choices you are making in your life that are affecting directly what your DNA can do and what consciousness you're aligning yourself with affects the frequency that your body is able to carry. And if you get stuck here, you will reincarnate in this cycle until the quantum you came in with burns out. And then you will do what is called a space dust return, We're ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You will come to a point where you don't have enough energy to reincarnate into another body, into another time cycle. And you will eventually simply just go back. And eventually, everybody goes back. But if you go back in ascension, you go back whole. If you go back and step back, you can come back out and go back whole. But if you do the fall path, you do go back eventually as space dust, where your body dies and your consciousness can no longer hold together, and it fragments and just becomes part of the local environment. But the local environment at times goes through natural cycles that have to do with Stargate cycles and ascension cycles, where all these little time tracks pull in together and then come back out again. At that point, anything that gets stuck out here gets drawn back into the center. So this is why God's source doesn't look at it as losing anyone in the fall path. It's the experience of you losing your connection with the universe that it's really about. So to get to understanding Stargates and everything, I wanted to explain on this simple diagram about the cycles that we are in. Because right now we are in that Kali Yuga cycle. And those three choices are facing us very much now. And more than they might usually, because this planet is in the middle of a drama that people here have forgotten, but they knew during the Atlantean periods, they knew 10,000 years ago what was happening here, and we have forgotten that knowledge. So anyway, let's go to the next diagram. If I spend this long on every one, we're going to be here for 6 years.
No, that's actually very helpful, and I think that was very clear. So.
Sorry about the cough.
Thank you. That's okay. No problem.
This next one is just a little bit similar to that one. It's showing the structure of that one a little more clearly. The reason I'm showing you this is just for down the bottom here, I'm not going to read them all or anything, but the detail level that we're giving. Each of these different states, we've talked about the core and the inner, the middle, and the outer domains of reality within which reality takes place, right? They each have a different state of matter, a different type of matter, a different density level of matter, and different states of consciousness that go with them. So I just wanted to point that out. So when we see this diagram, we're seeing the three, the Kalihara, it's called the Kalihara system, and we have the Hara bodies, and the time, space-time structures within the higher body. So these are large energy structures that you don't see, and you don't even see these. You're not walking around in your field counting your little balls, right? But they're there. This structure, the cosmos is created with this structure, but it's much more complex. But when you see it, it implies structure, but also time and evolution. And that is a good way to show the ascension process, where it is, you expand out, you go through experiences in the time, levels of the time matrix, and then come back in through the Adashi return cycles. So the word Adashi, for instance, is something that is special to us, because we are following the path of Adashi, the path of Christ our return. When I use the word Christ our, by the way, or any of the words like Christ, or anything like that, we spell it with a K. It's either K-R-I-S-T, sometimes we use shorthand, or K-R-Y-S-T. There's a reason for that. It's not because we're basing everything on the Bible or anything like that, nothing against the Bible, but it's spelled with a K because that's how it originally was, and what it refers to are, it's actually, there's seven syllables to it. We often will just shorten it to five. It's the first seven audible sound tones of creation, and they are ka ra ya sa ta ha la, and we also often just shorten it to ka ya ra sa ta Christ, right? So that's where we use the word Christ. It has to do with the sound tones, the vibrations, the first audible sound tones. When we get into first part of Kai creation, before all these structures occur in the cosmos, there are certain things that happen on a very, very, very nano micro level that the first, what would be audible sounds or audible vibrations. And that is why we use that word Christ. So that's where it's coming from. It's not saying, we're Christian, which means we're not this and we're not that and we're not the other thing. It's something that belongs to everyone in every language. So anyway, that's just another version of showing the same structure. This is part of a much larger structure and has to do with stargates. So we'll go, because what the drama that is happening on the planet now with the visitors and all of that has to do with stargates. It has to do with ascension, but it has to do with stargates too, and who's fighting over them. So the next diagram, this is called the Illumeridana spirit body. And the reason I'm going to show you the spirit body structure, this is a diagram that has many purposes, but if you remember that last diagram, this one is a bit more detailed. It is still showing structure. this is a simplified, and each one of these pieces and flows and all of the different elements of this have been analyzed. There's like 100 graphs of the statements. What it comes with is the structure that is referred to as the Illumiridhana spirit body, which is different than your light body structure, different than your atomic body structure. Yeah, it's part of that structure. The cosmos has this too. When you see these little petal things, these are actually flows of energy. Okay, nothing cosmic, right? Inside of this, you have those that the Hara ball structures with the time cycles moving in and out of this. But if you notice here, there are 12 points on this. There are 12 petals. Each one of those would have a line running down it that comes out the other side, right? Each would be a vector line. So you're not just dealing with one vector where you have two event horizons. You're dealing with sets of six vectors that form 12 event horizons. And there's more than that, too, but that's the ones you can see in this diagram. The spirit body structure is built on this particular structure. And these flows here, you have some of the outer flows that are called the lotus flows, those later ones in the pink. And then these little things that you can see part of, they actually go all the way down to the core, but then there's another layer of them here and another here. These are called the core flows, or the Navajo flows. The Navajo word has to do with a particular part of the creation cycle that is the first, where the Partakai units, which are the first units of consciousness that materialize, are actually born. It's a word that has to do with the Navajo cycles. So these are called the Navajo core flows. This has to do with stargates. All right, the next one will show you these stargates. Now, if you take the circle away and the ball structures away, and just look at the flows here, again, we have those outer petals, we call them the lotus petals. We call this the living lotus. Okay. Right? And these are the natural core flows of an eternal life creation, which means energy flows out, but it also turns around and comes back. It just doesn't flow out and expand until it destroys itself and burns itself out. That's what science is watching happening to this universe, because it's not functioning normally in our local galaxy. Anyway, stargates. These structures, these flows, now this applies to a cosmos, it applies to a galaxy, it applies to a planet. The planet has a structure like this, and it applies to our bodies as individuals. It applies to atoms, actually. They have their little own structure of this. Each one of these core structures, core flows, represents a stargate that has particular structure. When you look at it on a planetary level, they are literally points on the planet that interface with these energy flow systems that connect into core. And under certain conditions, they activate, and they literally allow space, time, and matter to turn into radiation and pop up somewhere else. They are passageways.
So you're talking about 12 major stargates?
There are 12. They go in sets of 12. On this planet, there are a whole lot more, because the main 12, which are called the Halls of Amenti stargates, they actually fell in 2003. They fell under the control of the service to self groups, let's put it, we call them the FAs, the Fallen Angelics, right? That's okay. What we refer to them as. And there are about five different, what are called interface gate systems, that were put here by the Guardians a long time ago, because this isn't the first time that there's been gate wars on this planet. In fact, two seedings of the human race were wiped out by the same type of, they call them Templar Wars, because they're fighting over the Templar. The Stargate system on a planet or in the universe is referred to as the Templar, and that word refers to template pillars. That's what the Templar word means. That's, I mean, the whole Knights Templar and all of that stuff. I mean, these things were from the old records from Atlantis. They had pieces of them. So anyway, when we're talking about Stargates or Ascension, in Ascension, the process of doing that turn around and be able to go back into the eternal life cycles has to do with getting your body able to where you can pass through the natural structures of stargates. Now, that's great if you get your body in shape, but if you're on a planet that Templar is messed up, you're going to have a problem. You'll get stuck on the planet, and your body will reflect whatever distortion is in the planet. That's why people right now die on this planet and don't ascend instead. Death is not a natural condition. It occurs on planets that have the distortion in their stargate structure, where the natural flows are not occurring, which creates distortions in the biological forms on that planet. So we have been locked into this planet. This has been a prison planet for at least 13,000 years. And actually, we went further back than that, but there were little bits of times where the gates were working properly. This is the first time. Why everything's coming to a head right now is because it was known in 22,326 BC, which was the last stargate opening cycle, and that one failed. that this would be the next one. They knew this time period would be the next one because there's a specific time frame in which the gates open, and they stay open for a period of time, and then they close again. That's why it's all coming to a head again.
Okay, so, but when you're saying the gates are going to open, you're talking about the 12 that have been taken over, so to speak. Those, I'm assuming, are not going to open.
Oh, yeah, they're opening them.
They're going to be
open. And we're opening the others. The guardians are opening the others.
Okay, even though they were taken over, they're able to go in and open them.
Oh, yeah, they open them into the black hole wormhole systems.
Oh, into an, okay.
Yeah. Well, you can still use them, except, you know, it takes you into fall systems.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
and that
so
is what
there
is
has to be alternate stargates that are going to be used.
Mm-hmm. And that is what we have been helping the guardians actually bring. You have to, they need to be activated. They're very old, dormant systems, but they're rescue systems.
Okay.
And at this point, the reason why the Guardians are even speaking publicly about this information in interviews is because March 25th of 2007, something occurred in the solar system that just shut the program down. We are on a 200-year evac program, period. And that's it. The gates are closing permanently. The gates are closing in this galaxy permanently in 200 years.
When you say something happened in the galaxy, can you explain a little more?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
some other diagrams for that one. Yeah. This is looking at one of those core flows, you know, just its structure, and there's like a pillar, a chamber inside of this. There's Merkaba fields that activate, which we'll deal with later if you want to see some of those pictures. But this is one of the Navajo core flow gates. Now, the other ones that aren't shown on here that look like the lotus petals, they're usually the flows that when a stellar activation cycle happens, they're usually the only ones that open because they will take you to the next density level up or even two densities up. They'll give you vertical ascension, but not diagonal or going back in and back out again. They're very limited, actually, in their capacity, but you can still ascend through them. When the planet, and the only time they open these, is if they are seeding a new race on the planet or if they are evacuating a race on the planet. And these core gates are opening on the planet because this is an evacuation. We have a 200-year warning because something happened with the sun that is it's not going to be, one is not going to be able to live on this planet by about 2976. And it's going to be before that, actually, but that's when it explodes from what they said. We're in a timeline, and we're stuck in a timeline. Voyager's mentioned it, that if we didn't make certain changes with the stellar activation cycle and reach a certain level, we were going to get dragged into a probability alignment in which the planet literally exploded because of the mechanics that were occurring with the Zetas and different, intruder races. And that is a probability line we got stuck in. And that's why we are on an evac order, and that's why we're speaking about it publicly. There are things we can do. It's not like, the world is ending. No. In fact, this is really good, because what could have happened in 2012 isn't going to. But there's certain ones that really want these things to happen, and I will talk about those a little bit in a little while. But this is the core gate structure. And it's, it's very detailed. I just really put these up not to read every little thing to you, to let you know and to let the public know that they are there and the sophistication of this material. This is why, talk about me, I'm not important. What's important is look at this material. It blows my mind.
Yeah.
I look, and the breadth of it. I mean, it covers everything from stargates to biology to, cosmic structure to pre-particle physics. I mean, it's an amazing body of material. If this wasn't serious, they wouldn't be giving us this information. So, anyway, that's the core gate structure, and they are activating the core gates. If you want to see how a core gate would sit on a planet to get an idea, this gives you an idea. That's just like a landscape painting behind it. It's actually a mural that I did on my wall in the house in Arizona we lived in. But it shows, right, here's the sky, and here's, like, the land, and here's, like, the subterranean levels below the land, and going down to the core. It shows how these gate flows work when they're open. And there will be 12 of these on the planet. And when you would pass into, you wouldn't see this thing standing in the air. There would be a certain field, and only if your DNA was keyed to it would you even know it was there. If your DNA was not activated to be in a co-resonant energy form with that structure, you'd walk right through it, past it, not even know it was there, and you'd still be in the same place. But if you have certain things activated in the body, in the DNA template, in the light body, in the spirit body structure, etc., in your anatomy, you would be able to see it, mm-hmm. and you would know where to stand in it, and you would know what to do and how to breathe. and you could use it and go in ascension.
Okay, so the 12 stargates that we're talking about, which have been interfered with, let's say, they're located at certain places on the planet, physical places.
Okay. The outer ones are the ones that fell. The core ones won't fall.
The core ones won't fall. Okay, so, and those are the ones that are, you say, ancient, that are being reactivated, as you call it. Okay, and those are also located at certain places.
And in different places.
Different places.
Yep. The outer ones surface at one, in one set of 12 places.
So there will be a lot of misdirects, I'm thinking, and there are a lot of misdirects going on the planet right now, to where certain people are directing people to focus on certain areas of the planet which contain these stargates, thinking that they are, you know, ascension stargates, when in fact they are taking them to another place.
Yes.
It's not so good.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. What they are being guided to fall stargates. They're not called stargates. They're called wormholes. And wormholes lead to black hole systems that are finite life systems. And right now they are feeding on our living system and killing it, basically. And that is why the intervention is happening. That is why the Navajo core gates are being opened, because we didn't stand a chance in this one. There was planned by, let's just say, the negative ETs and visitors, that there were five other occasions that extinctions were launched on this planet. They were before the humans were on it. This was going to be the sixth extinction, and it was scheduled for 2012. And because of what the Guardians are doing, that is not going to happen. We're not fighting with anyone. We're standing. We're standing in the frequency as the Christ, and we are being taught Masters Templar mechanics to be able to assist them, or the ground crew, just like on the other side you have what we call the Metatronic crew that are working the Atlantean Death Star Merkaba stuff that is what runs the wormholes. There's a whole bunch of people running around thinking they're doing ascension that aren't. And that is what is heartbreaking.
Yes.
When I started to go public with the Guardian teachings, like, oh, great, you know, it's going to be great in the New Age movement, and everybody, yeah, we're going to love each other. Oh, my God. I ended up like the black sheep in the New Age movement. Why? Because we exposed the teachings of Toth. Not many of the people here. We exposed the records. Toth broke the Emerald Covenant way back in the Atlantean period. He stole one of the CDD plates, took the knowledge from it, and created the Emerald Tablets of Toth, which had a bunch of mechanics that were the Death Star mechanics. He helped in the takeover, and he still is, because that being is still in existence. He pops back and forth. He can travel through time in his little Death Star Merkaba, but it wasn't just Toth. There's a whole bunch of them. So when it was pretty heartbreaking as this information, because I was thinking, oh great, we're all going to love each other, and it was ascension time. It didn't work that way, because nobody wanted to hear it, and it's too bad. At least there were some people that wanted to hear it, because they came to workshops. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we asked the people that were teaching the other stuff nicely, so why don't we just have a public discussion about it? You know, seriously, we'll each put up half of a room cost and, invite free to the public, and just let's discuss the topics, the issues. They wouldn't, but what they started to do was blackball me behind my back at the workshops, tell people to be afraid of me, tell them, oh, you'll die if you use your Merkaba that way. We have more Merkaba mechanics than they could dream about. I mean, they couldn't touch the stuff with a 10-foot pole. That's why they wouldn't even take on the challenge of, come, let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the history. That you can say, well, it's this or that, but these mechanics are indisputable because they don't have the things that link them together. The Guardians showed us all of these different things, sacred geometry, how it fit, not just, oh, here it's a this. What is a that? What does it mean? How does it connect to the cosmos? They showed cosmic structure in order to show how it's supposed to work, and then they showed where the distortions they're teaching fit and what they do to pervert it. So it's been very intense since we came out with the work, and it hasn't changed. But there's a group of us that just resonate with this and go, wow. Yeah, just, well, okay, no problem,
that's one of the reasons I'm here, and, you know, I'm aware of the distortions out there, I'm aware of the attacks and so on and so forth, and again, I have to say that people need to really go into their hearts, they need to use their heart and their intelligence to discern what resonates, and we're presenting this as what resonates, I'm going to say personally with me, but also with what I think people need to be aware of, and then they make their own decision. We've got plenty of the other side of information out there. And I think it's time that we hear from this side. And so, you know, I really want to thank you for making this opportunity possible. I do want to say that there are a lot of people out there that are following the wrong path. And if there's a way that you can also talk about the distinctions so that they can be aware, like if you get this, you might be might want to question more the path you're on. In other words, certain things will come to the fore during meditation. Mm-hmm. Certain things will come to the fore even in their everyday life where they're getting a lot of interference on certain levels and so on and so forth that can indicate that they are being tapped into by service to self ETs. Mm-hmm. And if you have that and you want to sort of share that, we don't have to do it now because that would be maybe off the topic a little bit here, but later on.
I think we'll probably come in that if we can move a bit with the sequence. The reason why the Guardians gave this sequence was because it's an easy way to touch a whole bunch of the bases, give a rounded picture that go right into, you know, answering the questions that you wanted at, you know, answered.
Okay.
So if you want to go off the sequence, it's okay, but I
no,
think...
No, let's go with this. And also, just one other thing that you're saying, we got this information and you're talking about yourself. Are you talking about other members of your group also getting this information?
Some of us do.
Okay.
Yeah, we all have a kind of special relationship, our own special relationship. I have the translator's contract, which means I'm the secretary, right? I take down the writing. But even like the other speakers have a rapport also with
okay.
the Guardians, and a number of people in the groups have developed a rapport with them as well. In fact, we work with them to help them do that. That's what the Guardians would like, is to, you know, start communicating where they can start teaching people directly, because we're like a little bottleneck on the information. You know, it's only given through the workshops and that kind of thing. Yeah. So I talk about it as we, not that I'm a plural, but that there's a bunch of people that are interacting with the Guardians directly. I'll just go really quick on these, and I guess that's another point I want to get to, that we can pop through these, but I want to bring something up that's very important. As far as telling the difference between some of the teachings, too, this in general is just showing basic Stargate structure, like how they work. When you have the core gates we saw before, these are what happen when you have those other flows that happen, the lotus petal flows. When you have a Stargate area, you have two vortices of energy, one electrical, one magnetic, and when they activate in the center, they come together, and one goes down, one goes up, and they form what's called a Viveka Merkaba field. All right, and that Merkaba field is, what does it mean? Moving light body, Merkaba, right? The Merkaba field is the field that actually, if it's around you, if it's a natural one that occurs around you, it's also occurring within you, and that is what allows your atoms to bond with their antiparticle and transmute and transfigure so they can go through gates. So this is basic Stargate structure as far as the Amenti gates were structured on this structure and those kind of things. There's more to that. This is the Merkaba part. There's the two vortices, right? And this is when they come together to form a Merkaba field. Now, this is a Merkaba field that's just done with vortices. These get more specific where they have fins, where they're actually like three-sided pyramids that move through each other. But I just wanted to see the basic structure of when Stargates activate. These Merkaba fields, which are vortice fields, activate within them and also within your body and around your atoms and in your atoms. This thing here is something that I would like to point out. This is called a Kathara grid. Light sound one, Kathara. It is literally the radiation template upon which everything in the eternal life systems are structured. It is the first creation template, and it has very, very specific proportions. Some people say, oh, that's a tree of life, but actually if you look at it, it isn't. It's actually the tree of eternal life. When you see something that is different than this, say it has maybe 10 of these centers instead of 12, right? This has 12. Or maybe it's longer and skinnier, or it doesn't have the lines in the same way. Mm-hmm. What that is a twisted radiation creation template. And it's passed off as a tree of life, some of, in certain teachings. It's actually the tree of artificial life. It goes with the what's called the Death Star, Atlantean Merkaba mechanics, the Metatronic mechanics. This is the natural structure of what is called a Kathara grid. And in a minute, you see how important this is, because literally the structure of the cosmos, of Stargates, but all of those structures we saw a little bit of with the circles, the spheres, right? wherever you see a sphere, it implies there was, we call these the bones. You have the bones and the balls. The bones are the radiation template that is built on Cathara grid. And Cathara grid will always have these proportions. They're very specific proportions in relation to each other. And that is a living template. With that template and the structures built upon it will be living. Our body structure, we have one that runs through our body that right now is very mutated because of the planet, and we'll see that, a little bit of that later. But we are moving to reactivate the natural imprint. So the Cathara grid I wanted you to see because it will help you understand the maps. If you're going to understand stargates and wonder where, okay, if I ascend, where am I going? Right? Seriously, if you're going to leave, where are you going? Do you even have a clue as to where what the choices are? They've shown us where these maps go. This is the beginning of understanding maps. I'll just show you this really quick, because this is showing, there's a sheet that talks about, I'm not going to talk about all the proportions right now because it's heavy detail, but this sheet explains about how this actually controls how particles interact with each other and all sorts of things, from angular rotation of particles, spin of particles in universes and that kind of thing. So this is just showing the specific proportions that is very important. So when you see something using as a sacred geometry, this structure that is not built on those proportions, it is actually representative of one of the other teachings that is teaching distorted template mechanics that have to do with wormholes and black holes.
Interesting.
Yeah. The more this came out, the more horrified I was. I really was. I was like, oh my God, please, you know, I don't want to have to talk about this, right? It was very hard. Now at this point, I have to have a sense of humor about it. You know, where it's, okay, so I am the pariah of the New Age movement, whatever. Somebody has got to let people know about this. That's why I still do, because it makes more sense than the other stuff that's being taught. And there's so much love in these teachings and in caring about people enough. Like, okay, so you might be mad at me because you liked that paradigm over there, and I just kind of don't mean to be a whistleblower, but if you're hurting yourself with that Merkaba, maybe you should not do that, you know? Anyway, go back on this. Sorry. This is showing simply, remember that little Cathara grid structure, right? Well, here's one. Here's another. These cluster. All right, these are radiation templates that cluster to form very complex structures. This particular structure we call the Stairway to Heaven. All right, one of these Cathara grid structures would hold four density levels of our local universe. All right, let's say the Milky Way galaxy, but there's actually more to it than the Milky Way. So that would be like our local universe. It actually includes Milky Way and Andromeda M31 galaxy. All right. And it's connected to another one. The one at this angle, 90 degrees to it, would be considered as parallel. It also has a light field that goes with it. So these are intricate structures that are formed from these templates. And where you see these structures, these are the bones again, you will have spheres of energy and spheres within spheres built upon them. So there are various levels. These are called the Veka systems. And four Vekas come together, and at the center, an Eka system forms. And the Eka systems form a cluster, and they form what's called an Akasha system. Then there's an Akasha A system and Akasha Aya system, and they all form this big cluster that's called the Ukatharista body. The Ukatharista body is one cosmic creation body. Now, our own personal anatomy has these levels to it. All right, they connect to those levels of the cosmos that we were born into. And full ascension is actually turning back on in our atomic structure all of the frequencies involved with all of those spaces. So we're down here in the Veka worlds. The next thing is we have to move up into the Eka, and then from the Eka, this is the long way to ascend, by the way. That's when the gates are working well. So the normal way for ascension would be you would work your way through re-evolution through the Veka system up the densities. We're in density 1 here. We work up to density 4, and then we go to the Eka level, and you're growing and getting lighter, and your matter's less dense, and you're getting more control over it, and you're getting more consciousness, you know, more God consciousness and that kind of thing. And then you would work to the Akasha level, and then you would work to the Akasha A level, and then the Akasha A level until you got up here. At any one of those points, you could experience the Christ star turnaround, and it would take you to the next level, right? Then there's the quick way to ascend when it's an evac, which is an evac situation, and that's what we have, where these are called harmonic gate systems. It implies that it's built on a system of dimensional harmonics, which means you have to take them in sequence harmonically one by one. It's the slow train, right? There's something called the transharmonic continuum. It actually runs between them. It requires a very specialized type of Merkaba vehicle and accelerations in the light body and spirit body anatomy to be able to do it. But those core gates, which are also the Navajo gates, they're also called the spanner gates, they are able to do that. They are transharmonic, where they can actually jump the scale. So you could jump from here to here, or from here, you know, to there. So you can move, you have more liberty of where you can go in ascension when you ascend. You're able to actually, you become a time jumper, basically, instead of just a straight, you know, ascension the hard way. You know, you go boing, 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 that kind of thing. So that is the system we're working on, because at this point, all of the natural structures of the outer gates have been damaged. The Amenti gates are damaged. We are stuck down here. And the same thing is happening through the Milky Way. It's not just here. It's not just in our solar system. Our solar system is a mess, but the Milky Way is a mess too. That black hole at the center, that's not an accident. That was done on purpose. That was done 360 billion years ago. We actually used to, Milky Way actually used to be a part of the Andromeda Galaxy. And it was literally forced into what is called fall. And now there's many light years between them, at least a couple. I forget how many light years are between them, 2 million light years, something like that. But they were once one. That is actually our home galaxy, the Andromeda M31. But right now we're in the Milky Way, which is a fallen phantom part of it. And there's still, it wasn't a full fall system until recently, when certain changes occurred that mean the quantum of energy going into the negative fall path is larger than the one pulling back the other way. And at that point, there is it's a galactic evac where they're pulling out the ones who can still go. You know, the consciousness that can still follow the ascension path is being evacuated out, because the gates will close. Once they close and the system falls, that system won't immediately blow up or anything. It will have a finite lifespan. It no longer has the direct currents coming in, the inflow of currents coming in from the larger structure of space-time and source. So it becomes a finite system that feeds on itself until it eats up its own quantum, and then it implodes and goes back to space dust. So we are at a crossroads, a huge crossroads right now. We are on a planet that is going in the fall direction, but this planet's actually going to take that path I'd mentioned, the step back path, but that requires losing its body, and it's going to do that. Not while we're on it, but that is what we're headed for. But right now we have 200 years to before these gates close in the Milky Way galaxy, and that includes here. So this is why they're giving the advanced ascension teachings now. And this is why crazy people like me come out and talk about them with the vocabulary, because we could use a dictionary, honestly.
No, I mean, you know, I expect people, it's good if they go, what did she talk about there? I don't get it, or go investigate, you see. Right. We're not here to answer all their questions, actually.
Okay, well, I don't mind.
Investigation is getting involved. Right. And if they get involved, they learn, and then it becomes part of them.
Yeah. So when we see the structures, when I'm showing things like the structures, these are structures that that are not known out here yet. They have words that describe them. You know, they have names for that structure. That's a Hara body, or that's a Yukatharista body, right? Or that's a Veka, and that's an Eka. These are part of the actual templates of the layers of creation going all the way back up into expansion into God's source consciousness field. They are the literal bones of our space-time orientation. So they are time references. When I talk about a Veka system, that is down here, closer to where we are in a Veka system, right? When you get up to the next level of ascension, there is the Eka system, which is at the core of four Vekas. Then you get up from there and you have what's called an Akasha system, which has a set of all the smaller ones inside of it, right? And then an Akasha A system, and then you go into the Yukatharista system, which is really, they are words to describe things that make perfect sense, you know, to the people who are describing them, the guardians. Sure. They're words in the ancient what's called Anahazi language, which was the first spoken language in this time matrix. So a lot of the language that is used, you know, that it's like, what is that? It's translations from those languages.
Okay, does Anahazi relate to Anasazi?
Actually, it does. Okay. The Anasazi were connected to the guardians, actually.
So did they ascend? Is that why they disappeared?
Some of them did. Others, they were actually raided, from what I heard. They were raided and overtaken by another group, and some of that other group became Anasazis as well, where they became violent, and the original ones weren't like that, and yes, some of them were evacs locally, is what I heard.
Okay. The Kabbalah is gotta be, I mean, you know, I'm gonna just say it here, to my understanding from what you're telling me is that Kabbalah is not the positive ascension path.
I would put this way. in relation to the Kabbalah or the Bible or the Quran or any of the texts that are out there. There are elements of truth, all of which came from the original teachings that were on this planet. There were 12 legions of the Christ, 12 bodies of teachings that went with the CDD plates. There are pieces of those that have wound up in the religions of today, and there are distortions in all of them as well, which means they all carry a mixed path.
Okay.
And the way to tell, it takes a while to develop the sensitivity, but there is something inside and visible of everything, be it a cup or a cosmos or a set of letters written on a page. There's something called an encryption. An encryption is a very specific radiation signature that is underlying. It's in the dark matter template. When you get to a certain point in DNA activations, which sensitize your inner senses in your body, you can know with direct cognition. You can read a sentence and know which part is taking you in which direction. So anything, like the Kabbalah, there are some beautiful things in the Kabbalah. And they also use a mutated tree of life because they don't remember any different. And they were tricked. Just like there's a lot of great things in the Christian religion that are, you know, true to form and a lot that aren't. Mm-hmm. There's been trickery ever since the Atlantean periods here. Well, there was before too, but that was the big showdown for trickery. And what we have now are the trickle-down ideas and piecemeal memory and piecemeal history of what could be salvaged from that time. There's a reason we don't remember. We'll get into that a little bit when we get into that stuff I talked about at the end that was important. But our stance isn't to make any of the other paths wrong. There's only one that we actually will stand against. If they're directly teaching Metatronic Death Star Merkaba, we have to address that. We don't address the people who are teaching it. We feel bad for the people who get caught up in that. I feel bad for anybody who's contacted by Toth. Because, well, I've known Toth in other lives, and I've known Toth in this life. And he once upon a time was a speaker. Yeah, an Emerald Covenant speaker. And he broke the Emerald Covenant, and he decided to go with the Anunnaki races and go into a fall path and stole the technologies. And part of what he did is why this planet is going in the path it is now. So it isn't the people that, you know, we don't blame the teachers of those things or the people listening to channels and they don't know what the heck they're listening to. I mean, oh, great, you know, it's cute and it's fun and it's lovely. And, yeah, right. Check its resume. But how do you? You know, we're any of the religions, any of the New Age or the Old Age religions, there's good and there's not good in both of them. And it's almost like you need to feel out and feel what works right for you. But don't limit yourself to just saying, oh, well, it has to be the Jehovah God, or it has to be the Allah God, or it has to be the this God, or that God. You can call God whatever you want, but, you know, God doesn't really need you to call it anything. It is beyond gender qualification. We were created in the image of God, all of us. And that doesn't mean we are all male or all female. It means we are all living consciousness fields that have the potential of direct creation and eternal life. And that is what that line meant. So the Kabbalah is fine, certain parts aren't. Same applies to every paradigm that is, you know, traditionally on the planet and a lot coming in from the New Age, except for the Death Star mechanics. They're very direct, you know, not sacred geometry. So if that answers that question.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
thank
good.
You.
Alrighty, where are we? Back to this. I just wanted to show this again quickly. This again is the diagrams we've used to show the structure of the spirit body with its flows and its core flows, and that's also the gate structures and all of that. It means that the cosmos has sets of spirit bodies. There's like lots of these embedded within each other, and we also have our spirit body. When I refer to our spirit body as part of our anatomy, it is structured in this same way. Okay? We'll see in the next one how that fits in with, remember the Stairway to Heaven and the Ekatharista body? Right? Those structures are actually part of what's called the light body anatomy, be it on the cosmic level or the personal level. This is how they fit together. This is that Ekatharista thing with all those little interwoven Kathara grids, right? And this is the basic structure of spheres within spheres from the spirit body, the cosmic spirit body, that all of those exist within. Every one of those little Kathara grids would have a set of these, right? These become the spirit body. The 12 spheres in the spirit body that, remember, go in sets across a vector line, right? And at certain points, they actually pull in to the center, and that's how, at a certain point of expansion, you contract back into the center and go back into God's source. This is how the the Adashi adepts, the ones who have achieved ascension, actually use these structures as maps. These are literal maps of how they judge. If you are here and you want to go to Sirius B density 2, right? These are the maps they use to get there. They are the gate interface maps. We can locate ourselves on these maps. There's one that shows exactly where we are in the Milky Way galaxy, because we're actually M31 galaxy, but we're a part that's twisted off but still connected to it energetically. We can show our location. We can also show the locations where the black hole systems are that are interfacing here, that are messing with us now, and where the main guardian groups are coming from and where they're helping us. So these are literally maps. These maps then translate into, these are all probability fields. So you might have one, say, galaxy, and it's 12 different probable expressions. And they all of these are spinning, right? And they interface with each other all of the time. So they're like bubbles within bubbles that don't collide and collapse each other. Well, they're not supposed to. If they're doing the Death Star mechanics, they actually do. But there's a natural system of probabilities. So it's not just we have a parallel universe. Right. We have many parallel systems and adjacent systems and neighboring systems. And so this is literally the structure of the maps of the cosmos. These are the structures you use. Once, say, you get to the point where you can ascend, well, you have to first of all decide where you want to go, and then where is the map to get there? These are the maps. So I wanted to show you how those structures that are on a small level, our own multidimensional anatomy is structured that way, but on the large level, this is the structure of the maps of the cosmos. There is a structure that science does not know about yet. They have no idea how complex it is. Each one of these structures, they've taken it from the first, though they call it a Partika unit, the first unit of consciousness, how that structure grew each stage, right? So we have like hundreds of diagrams that go with these to show how the Gathara grids all filled out, to show how these structures of the spirit body and all their flows filled out. Inside of the spirit body flows, which isn't on this one, they'll actually find where what is called the Hall of Records exists, what it is, the Akashic record, all of that thing. It's part of this anatomy structure. The planet has one, the solar system has one, the galaxy has one, etc. So these are not just interesting little diagrams on a paper. These are very practical. They're just as practical as a map you'd buy down at the gas station to get, you know, somewhere horizontally.
Okay, and isn't it true that we also have 12 incarnational bodies that have incarnated simultaneously that mirror the same pattern there?
1728.
Okay.
Simultaneous. Your existence implies the 1727 others.
Okay.
But are you...
Okay, but there forms. There is something to do with the 12.
Yes, there's sets of 12.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you have your first 12, then you have... Well, it basically, it has to do with the density levels. We're in density 1 down here. Density 2, you have your incarnate identity here. You would have a set of 12 incarnates. And if you put those 12 back up to density 2, you would have one soul, right? That is your soul, your density 2 level of identity. Now, that one soul would be a group of, 11 others. It's part of a set of 12.
Sure.
And you pull all those together, come up to density 3, and that's where you are an oversoul. And that oversoul is a part of a group of 12 oversouls. That you pull it up to density 4 is an avatar. And then you have a group of 12 avatars, pull it up to density 5, and then you would have your Rishi identity, which is your fully formed Vega level identity, to come into the densities down here. But there's other levels of identity that go up beyond the 15 dimensional system. Those 5 densities that I just talked about each have 3 dimensions. So there's your 15 dimensional stack right there in one time system. So, does that help?
Yes,
yes,
that's
and 12s.
Great.
12s, yes. Many 12s. Yep. This is just a real quick glimpse to show that these time cycles that we've talked about in relation to these structures, they are quite specific. These were given as far as time frames. One time vector here on this planet, and they're using translations into Earth time, as we know Earth time. One time vector is 738 years. One time continuum is 4,426 years. One Uego is 26,556 years. A Uego time cycle is a Stargate cycle. That is when the Stargates on the planet open, once every that period. Right? Right now it's distorted into what are called the false Yuga cycles, and we'll show you what that is at the end. But these go all the way up. There's galactic levels, there's universal levels, and these are the structure of time and how it works, and that, yes, you can take it right into, you know, periods of time. It is because we are in a stellar activation cycle right now, and the last one was 26,556 years ago, and it failed. The gates did not open. They had to be shut closed because we got raided. That was called the Iani Massacre period, where it was there was a lot of ships mowing people down, actually, in that one.
Okay.
Beam ships.
And was this, we're not talking about Atlantis here, we're talking prior?
There were several phases of Atlantis.
Okay.
All right, the last phase of it, the last pieces of it went under in 9558 BC. But way before that, there was Atlantis. There was in seeding one, there was an Atlantis. In seeding two, there was an Atlantis. And on Terra, there was an Atlantis. That's where it all came from. And a Lemuria. We had Lemuria, Lemania. There were different spellings of the names, but they were the same places and the same soul groups inhabiting them. Yeah. So this was like the 9558 BC period, the last period, that was like the late Atlantean period.
Okay.
So there was a lot of Atlantis period anyway. But these stargate cycles, this is the cycle that our gates open on. This planet's gates are supposed to open on the 26,556 year cycle. It's now been shortened because of what they're doing to the planetary grids and the stargates and the Templar to what's called the false Yuga cycles, which is plugged into the precessions of the equinox, which is not natural. And we'll look at what that is about and when that started, because that really, really came into fore about 13,000 years ago, when a major victory on, and this was an Atlantean drama, a major victory on, just let's say, the dark agenda side had occurred. They created something called the Toral Rift. It is a time rip. And it was, they literally plugged Earth's Templar into this time rift and knew that when it came to the next stellar activation cycle, they would use it to draw Earth in. It's not just Earth they're after. Earth connects still to its corresponding planet or star, actually, in M31. It is called Eartha. There is still a direct energetic link between the gates. They're after M31 as well. So it's much bigger drama than people here realize. They're not just after little Earth. Earth has always been a fighting place because of its connection to the larger universe and because it was connected as part of what was called the Crystal River Host. That was when, a long, long time ago, 360 billion years ago, when the Milky Way fell out of M31, there was a whole collective of guardian beings from various other, I hate the word ascended just because of the way it's misused down here, of the Adashi Adepts, people who formed a coalition to assist in trying to re-evolve the Milky Way back into its natural position so it could continue as an ascension system. So, excuse me, I'm getting interrupted. They want me to go somewhere else. Okay, I don't know. Sometimes it'll happen. I'll let you see that. I don't have to let you see that, but I did. All right, they're saying go somewhere else for now. We'll come back to that. Okay, anyway. They don't want me to talk about galactic history yet. Okay. Yeah, I get that sometimes, even when I'm on stage.
Okay,
where I'll
yes.
just get a like, little hello.
Okay. Right. Why are you saying, what is their motivation? And if you want to put this question off till later, we can do that. But what you're saying, they were after Earth. They were after Earth, and they were after it because of its connection with the larger universe. So why? Why? What is their motivation for taking us down, for
what
closing
is their core,
it off and making it a finite
objective?
System?
Right. What is the core objective? Food. They're in a black hole system that has fallen. They're, because of the nature of the physics dynamics involved with creation, the way eternal life creation works, is when a thing falls, it loses its connection to the inflow and backflow of energy from the source consciousness field, which means it gets left with only the quantum it had when it fell. Now, everything is spinning. That takes energy. It uses up its energy, and if it doesn't suction energy off something else, it will implode and go back to space dust return, which is what a system was meant to do, so everybody, nobody gets stuck and everybody gets to go home, either as space dust or, hole through ascension, whichever, at least you go home. These groups that have adopted the false creation, they've tried to recreate the creation because they didn't like the consequence their own choices brought to them in relation to the physics reactions to the actions they took. They ended up in a false system, and they wouldn't face the reality that, you can make peace with that, even if you're in a false system. You can say, that was pretty dumb to get ourselves into that, but we're here, and we can handle ourselves with grace. We can still love creation. We can still act in loving ways. They decided instead it would be more interesting to keep themselves alive by using a vampire technology. They're going after it for quantum food, to feed their system. If they can harness this system, literally the entire quantum of energy that is in the system will be drawn into their black hole system, which will give their whole system more life. So they're postponing the inevitable, but they keep using these technologies to do that, and they prey on living systems. But there is a point in time where that backfires, and they're getting very close to that point too. So anyway, that is the core motivation. Okay. It's not that anybody's mad at anybody else, or they're fighting over this toy or that toy. This is big. They're fighting over survival, and they feel that they have to kill the living systems in order to have that energy as food, period. And that becomes the most important obsession for them. And it is a twisted thinking. When a being gets that far into de-evolution, where it really has no remorse, they don't have what you'd call emotional bodies like we do anymore, they don't care. They just take. And they don't care about giving. They don't think about that. And they don't want to hear it. You can't rationalize with a certain level of fall consciousness. So that is what we're dealing with. And that is why it is a very large story. But it's really not very personal story. You know, it's like, don't take it personally. Do you take it personally if you're swimming and a shark rips off your leg? Mm-hmm. It's a shark.
Sure.
You had a leg. It swam by. I mean, you know, hate the shark. It's just doing what its instinct moves it to do. And that's kind of like what is happening here. So if that's how I've been taught to look at it. And I'm at peace with it. I don't like it, but I'm at peace with it in that regard. But I will stand for the things that, for me, that mean most to me. And I believe in the loving creator God source field, and I believe in being fair to people, and I believe in telling the truth even if it's hard, and I believe in facing the truth even if you'd rather pretend it wasn't there, and dealing with it and taking it forward from there. So anyway, those consciousness don't think like that, but that's what it means for me when I say, you know, we stand in the Christ. That's what it means. It's not fighting with these beings. You know, I mean, you can do that, but they're just engaging your energy anyway. But we do have to stand and work the gates here. Somebody has got to take care of the remaining gate potentials here so the consciousness can evacuate out within the next 200 years that is going on the upward swing. So that could help.
Okay, yeah.
Very good. Tangents. So this is just showing the time, like there are literal translations into Earth time. And this would apply, like you could go sit on Venus or something, and then you could translate them into Venus time, which would be different because time has to do with how fast things spin and all of that. Anyway, yeah, never mind. The physics of how long your day is and your sidereal time and all that crazy stuff that I don't like. With all the structures and processes that we've learned that have to do with that structure of the spirit body and its hara centers, which are the probability structures that at certain periods pull in, right? And that's an ascension cycle when they actually pull in, and then a new creation comes back out. There are ways to track those cycles. There are ways to track from the point of conception onward how your body grows in cycles. And there are also ways to track an evacuation cycle. And they all can use this diagram. This diagram has to do with octants and specific ways the energy is divided up and within those structures that we've looked at. And this is just showing, it's called the loadout schedule from 2008 to 333 AD cycle. Now, it doesn't mean we get this, that the gates are going to be open here until 333 AD. They're going to close over here in 2230. That is when the gate systems here close. But this is actually showing that, okay, once you get through here, there's certain stages. We made it through what was called the Kalihara celebration. We called it a celebration at the time. After certain things happened in 2007, as we moved into 2008, if we did not hit on this planet a certain level of core vibration, we would have gone into fall right there. We would not have been able to hold a host. All the gates would have shut except the fall gates, and we would have all been stuck, and it would have, well, we'd all been extinct in 2012. That was the other side's plan. But we did make the vibration for the Kalihara, which allowed us to pick up into the host, which is called the Crystal River Host. This has to do with a stream of energy currents that are coming in from a matrix that I'll show you later on the maps that are the high level of the Guardian Alliance. They're like the ones that wrote the books originally. They're like the small layers from our matrix. These are massive Mishayanic beings. And that means they're the eternal life beings, the ones who have gone through the Adashi return cycles, and, you know, so they're... Anyway, we were able to pick up the host, the planet was, where it could anchor those frequencies as long as there was somebody here to anchor it, and that is what our groups have been doing. We are, you know, I mean, our bodies are energy, everybody's bodies are energy, and we're all anchoring something. And right now, the planet, most of it is anchoring the Metatronic currents. And there's a few people that just because they happen to have the DNA codes that they are connected with the Christ and don't know it, are just, you know, going about their little lives, but anchoring it, you know, the good currents anyway. But there are, I'm not aware of any other groups that are working at all with the Christic energies as far as the grid works they're doing. So we go around and we do grid work, and you know, very specific grid work. You know, see these type of diagrams? Well, when we go to do like grid work someplace, we know what a vortice is, right? We know where to go. We know this information. We don't just go, you know, play like a planetary guardian like a lot of people do, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. People that are inadvertently anchoring the negative currents and opening gate sites on the, you know, the wormhole codes because they don't know, because nobody taught them, you know, the difference between them. So anyway, we made this into this cycle, and this is good because if we didn't, it would have been all over by in 2012. But this, we passed the Kalihara cycle. We're in this cycle period right here, right now, which we haven't come to the center point yet. That'll be 2027 when we hit this point in the cycle. There are certain energy changes that take place here, certain accretion cycles. That means energy coming in cycles, right? These are accretion cycles where energy pulls in to a certain point. There are certain things that happen in each of these stages. So we are right here in this stage. This is the first stage of the, it was called the Kali Krista cycle. This is what they call this one, the Varda phase. And then over here, there's the Masha phase, I believe, and that's where you get the Mashayahana word from. And the word Messiah was twisted from that word, the Mashayahana word, in the ancient Atlantean teachings. That's an Anahazi word having to do with, you know,
okay,
this cycle.
And it's related, is it related somewhat to Mahayana? Mahabharata?
Yes. Yes. Very much. In fact, a lot of the Mahabharata texts were some of the remnants that had come up from the Mahabharata texts that, you know, were the translations of the CDB plates much earlier. Yeah. So anyway, we have to this point, when we get over here, that is 2047. I don't have it marked on this one, but this would be the point in this cycle. It would be 2047. And this is where something called an infold happens, where when we go back to remembering the vector line with the Hara bodies on it, right? And at certain points they pull into the center and then come back out again. That is going to occur with the energy systems literally in the parts of this galaxy that can hold the host, including Earth, including our own fields. So right now we're making it through this part of the cycle. There's certain changes that will happen here. This is a point, that middle point, during which something called the Bardo chambers open. Now, the Bardo chambers, it can be a pleasant thing, or it can be a time when people evac the quickest way possible. And we are still looking at the potentiality of there could be major Earth changes that occur during this period.
And at this point,
it's like if we get that far, because what's happening between now in 2012 is pretty rough. And what some of the other ones, like those who make wings, have planned for 2019 isn't too pretty either. So we're trying to help keep the grid stable and the consciousness stable just by working energy, you know, as opposed to trying to go out and preach on anything. You know, we teach what we teach. But there are some, this is a really bumpy period we're going through here because of what the Service to Self ones are doing. And they are seriously just trying to use this. They're trying to take our planet, forget about us, they don't care, they were planning to exterminate us in 2012, and just use it as torque to drag a whole larger system into their feeder black hole. So when you have an objective like that, you really don't care. They don't care how many people are lost, but the Guardians do, and that's why we're still here. So we're moving through this period now. We're probably somewhere right about here, because this will be 2027. There's some rough spots coming in 2019 and 2022. And also, we are in the middle, well, not quite the middle, but in March of, I think it was March 25th, 2007, there were certain things that a particular group of the Raider races called the Borgia that are connected with the Thetans, they kind of work together, they're on the negative side. They're part of the groups that are fighting over who's going to control this beast machine, this Death Star, Merkaba here. They did something with the solar gates at the core of the sun, and they forced closed what is called the prana seed. Now, the prana seed has to do with sophisticated anatomy. We all have one, and so do planets and galaxies. When a prana seed closes, it forces the bardo, and which means it forces this beginning of the death cycle. And our sun is dying as at that point. That doesn't mean it's immediately going to die. There are 15 layers of the dark matter template called the Rasha body that need to separate from the physical matter body. That will be done in 2022. Now there is a gamma burst that is released, and right now it's being buffered every time one of those, they call them ring waves, solar ring waves, releases. And they will get stronger as it goes into the higher levels of the rings, the higher numbers of those 15. And 15 comes in 2022. So, so far, so good. We haven't had any major gamma bursts, solar flares that wiped everything out. But these are other potentials that we are looking at as well, as well as earthquakes and the usual stuff that end times dramas bring. Gosh. But it's not as bad as a lot of the things that some of the other people are teaching. I've heard certain people say that, oh, well, we won't even be here by 2013. Yeah, that's one of the Death Star people.
Right.
Okay. So I'd love to have a public debate about that one, Mr. So-and-so.
Yeah, it would be great to do that.
We invited that person. I think who I'm referring to.
Yes.
Yeah, years ago.
I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm. So anyway, this is showing the cycle. There are certain different things that happen in this amazing structure of the planetary, solar, galactic, and universal spirit body and light body structures. It's a very specific process that is involved with Christ Star evolution, which is going into that where you fulfill the, accrete, or bring in all of the frequencies in the template that you needed to make that Adashi turnaround, where you can immortalize your atoms and go into the eternal life, going back cycles. And planets and solar systems and galaxies can do that too. So there's a portion of this system, this galaxy system, that can still do that with the extra frequency that is being added by that host system that is called the Aquarian Matrix. And it's actually the Aquarian Matrix is, they have the prototypes of what the humans here were actually like designed on. The genetic prototypes were from there, even though we weren't directly from the Aquarian system. We were from M31 and from this particular universe once, the Milky Way once it fell. But they're very closely related genetically, to us in that regard. So they're not like, when I talk about the other ones, you have to expect very strange looking beings like octopi. Some very nice ascended ones do look like that, but these look very human like, but much much larger.
Okay.
Very very tall. Yeah. Anyway, so this is the cycle we're in at the moment. Now this one's good. This will show a little bit. This is how we can start understanding these as maps. Pretty colored one. I'm so glad people cared to take my black and white messes, right, like these, and do them properly on the computer. This again is just showing the bones or the interwoven cathara grids, right, of the Ekatharista body, which is like one cosmic body, right. Down here, Aquinas, Kasha matrix. We're down in here. Aquinas is actually the name of M31. That's the official name as far as the ancient records go and all of that.
Okay.
And we're part, we were the Aquinas universe. They call it a universal system. And we call it the M31 Andromeda Galaxy, but it's actually the Aquinas universe. Now, we're located down here. Up here is the Aquarian Akasha Matrix, right up here. So we're down here, and they're up in this section. So it's literally showing the relationships, like, one lives over here, one lives in, Pennsylvania, one's in California, that kind of thing. And there's another one, there's a black hole system, a fall system right here that's called the Wieselay system. And what's interesting about this whole creation is falls can happen where part of the spherical structures of that system literally no longer are energetically connected to the grid. They still hang in the grid, but they're cut off from it. They can only happen on the Veka and the Eka levels. A whole Akasha can't fall. Once you get to the Akasha layer, none of those other layers can fall, and it's just a different type of existence where you don't worry about the polarity dramas that end up in falls and things. So, but this shows us where we're here. The ones that are helping us here. This is a they call it a It's an eternal matrix. That the purpose they choose to stay in incarnation or stay in existence is to kind of play the helpers for any of the other systems that do need, you know, ones to go in, where they live by a let my will be thy will as far as source goes, and they want nothing other than to fulfill what, you know, source's intention is, which is a loving intention and, you know, an assisting intention. So they find their joy in being of service to assisting the evolutions and, you know, in the lower matrices, and they hold these frequencies pure. Their systems stay pure enough where they can actually send currents in and help systems or hold them up so they don't fall, and that's what they're doing with our system right now. This little red one right here, that's our parallel, our immediate parallel system on this level. And this one is a black hole system, all right? The parallels of fall. We have a parallel Earth, and that finally finished falling in 2003. We have a parallel Milky Way that is a mess, and it's called the Alpha system. That was the first black hole. They look at us as the Omega system. They're the beginning, we're the end. They're planning to pull the two systems together using the Death Star Merkaba mechanics. So this is the locations, anyway, of where who's on first. We're here, over here in the Aquinas. That system, the parallel, is running in here. Our buddies that are helping us with the Crystal River host, sending us energy to literally stop. It's kind of like sending big energy arms down to hold us up, because these guys are pulling so much energy out of us, we would have fallen already. This whole galaxy would have. And then up here, there is another system. This system, the WISA system, is connected with this one. They've linked through wormholes to the center of their cores, their Eka cores, and created a structure, a system of wormhole structures. One of them is the Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh wormhole structure. And anything, any channelings and stuff coming from that stuff, it's coming right out of WISA-Lay and that kind of stuff, and it is a foul system. So there's the trickery that is going on here is heartbreaking. You know, it
okay,
seriously
can you
is.
Talk at all about the dimensional aspects of this? Because certain of these systems are in certain dimensions. No?
Certain of these systems are in certain dimensions.
Because in other words, it seems, well, okay, at least in the what's out there, we're talking about four-dimensional beings being, you know, the negative service to self coming in through.
Talking about 15-dimensional beings being negative, some of them too.
Oh, really? So going up much higher levels than is currently thought.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because that's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You're saying
Metatron.
There's a backup.
Metatron, for example. Metatron is an entity. He was a Rishi entity, 15-dimensional Rishic identity, and that collective fell. But it was still on the Vekka level. All right, when you get up past the Vekka levels, because we have our density levels that are inside of a Vekka level. Vekkas go in sets of four, and at the center is an Eka. All that stuff is inside of something called an Akasha level. The Akasha level can't fall, but any of the consciousness or the structures below that can.
Okay, and what levels of density then are we going down from there?
Each set of each Vekka, each Katharagrid, let's say, the little structures that you saw, each of those has like four density and implies a fifth density when you cross through the center. Whether you find that Akasha on the lowest densities in the Vekkas or up in the highest in the structures of the Ekatharista body where it can't fall, it's all consistently, there are five densities and 15 dimensions to each set. They have different types of matter and different density levels of matter. Some are heavier than others and that kind of thing. So, but that part is consistent from the smallest all the way up to the largest. It is just the fineness or the refinement of the matter type changes as you go up into the ones that can't fall. There is a refinement to the energy and the consciousness there that you don't find in the one, you know, in the lower systems, even the best of the lower systems. So that I think that's how I would answer your question.
Okay, and if you get the light beings that manifest here, that are really manifesting, in other words, they really are light beings, what level are they coming from?
It depends.
Could be anyone. From what level up?
There is an old saying that light can deceive, but sound tells the truth. Sound is the vibration, right?
Okay.
The encryption. Mm-hmm. It's a feel thing. You can have really beautiful light beings that are coming in the form of, that are actually FAs or fallen angelics that are coming to mess with you. You can have really, really ugly ascended ones that are really good. They come from many different levels. We are learning to turn ourselves into light. We are the things that they are teaching us now. We're learning first bilocation, next is translocation, and then eventually you get to do transmigration, but that requires having certain things where you actually aren't trapped by the planetary time cycles anymore. So light beings, where do they come from? Well, they could come from here. You know, they could come from Venus next door. They could come from the highest levels or the lowest levels. There are light beings that come and visit out of the black hole systems, and there are ones that come and visit from the higher levels. So just because it's a light being doesn't mean it's good light.
Okay.
They've made a distinction. They taught us some very interesting mechanics about the difference of light or radiation signatures, mm-hmm. right? There's something called Shalaya living light, and it's a very specific configuration. It is created out of three units that form a light unit, and matter forms actually build out of these, right? And there is another type of light that forms through using the natural light, the organic light that comes from first creation, natural creation, organic creation, is the three balls. I don't have one here, but it's like, they call it the tribeca, where it's like three, one ball on top and two small ones, and that is what the structure of the light unit is. It has the ability for those the two little bottom balls to phase in and out like this and spark when they do. So it can generate its own quantum. So it's eternal, right? There's another type of light that is not organically occurring. It occurs by bending the natural laws of physics and using the various forms of the Death Star Merkaba mechanics. And that is called the Shona light field. And it is a dead light field. And it is made of, they call it the Vesica Pisces configuration, where it is just two light things together like that, right? Two. And they spin and they spark, but they have to attach to something in order to feed, or they're finite and their spin actually burns them out until they collapse and fall apart, which means the matter forms that they're built on collapse and fall apart. So they are finite light. And so that is, you know, the light beings. Is it a light being made out of a Shona field, or is it a light being made out of an organic Shalaya field? Same thing with orbs, right?
Yes,
you can have positive
absolutely.
And negative orbs. I've met some very nasty orbs in my day when I was younger. I used to run from them. I was terrified of them because they would turn into Zetas, right? Yeah, the red ones you had to look out for with the Zetas. Yeah, I'm not saying all red orbs are Zetas, but yeah. So there's things that can be used. Just because it's a phenomena doesn't mean it's always good or always negative, right?
Sure.
It that's where learning the sense encryption
helps. And that's
helps.
Very valuable for people to hear.
Yeah. Good. Okay, back to where are we? Oh, let me go through this quicker. Are we here for ancient times? This is showing a close-up of that. These are my hand-drawn ones, right? Which, in certain ways, I can read them better, probably because I drew them. But they're much prettier when they're done on the computer. This is showing that same thing. It just happens to be tilted the way I drew it first, right? That's that same thing that was up the top before. And this is showing right here where our Vesica system is, right here. But this here is pulling it out so you can look at it a little more closely. Instead of just having the natural cathara grid structure, right, which is the bones that our sphere there would be built on, there's this tilt, right? The bones are here. The natural cathara grid, that's the Aquinas matrix, which is M31 Andromeda. And this is the Milky Way now. We're still energetically connected through Earth, right to, if you notice, there's numbers on these little centers. They're called cathara centers. Through number 3 on the Andromeda, or the M31 grid, and number 3 Earth on this grid, they are connected. That is the link that has been holding the Milky Way connected to Andromeda. And if the host mission was to try to help the Milky Way evolve back into its natural position, because if something gets stuck like that, eventually it'll fall and be off the grids where it will become finite until it burns out its quantum. So there's always rescue missions that try to bring something back. Earth has been a place of, and so was Tara before Earth became Earth down here. There was a star here called Ashalay. And that is actually the host star. The fragments of Terra were put in to begin this solar system down here in Density 1. That's described a bit in Voyagers. But this is showing the offset, where this is the north axis of M31. This is Milky Way's. They're off tilt with each other. And that actually creates distance in space-time, a couple million light years, 200 million, I forget, I used to know anyway. But so that's just showing in these maps. Now, you can see that just a little bit closer. When you bring it in, just that little part, that shows those misalignments where this was the natural structure, and that's the structure of the M31 Andromeda galaxy's core template, right? And these are the 12 main stargates in that universe, by the way. This is our Milky Way system. And right here, on the number 3 gate, that is where they are still connected. Right? These others, there's a whole set of these that show the black hole system. It's called the Prociac black hole. It is a mess. I mean, it's just, you can see the dynamics of how it works, the energy twists and stuff. But I'm not going into that on this one, you know, in this particular presentation, because it takes forever. But they're just showing the offset. So, and what this translates into is that distance that we're seeing between M31 galaxy and the Milky Way galaxy. But they are one, and that is our home system. And if we are going to ascend out of the Vecca matrices, we have to ascend through there. Anything in this matrix has to go out through where it came in from because of the encryption that you carry. You will carry the encryption of the gate you came out of, so you need to use them to go back, you know, in the Adachi returns. So anyway, that's one, some of that. Anything more here? Yes, this just gives an idea of how this, when you put the probability, the Hara bodies, right, that form the probability sets. And if you see, look in here, we had a whole bunch of these, and bless Willa, she, her and Bob typeset them all the little numbers, so you know which lines, because this becomes important. We actually use drum codes to bring in very specific frequencies by using the numerical coordinates that go with the specific systems we're trying to bring the energy in from to bounce out the ones from the black hole systems that are coming in. I mean, it's quite sophisticated, the technologies they're showing us to use.
Okay,
we're all learning how to beat on drums, right? You can't beat on it, stomp on the ground, right? You're an energy system, stomp, get the vibration in. But this is showing us the same thing that we were looking at before, where it shows the, you've got the RISTA map, right, and we're over here, but now it's showing the probability systems that we're in. So where our little Cathara grid is, there's actually every one of these has a system that looks just like this, but a smaller one, right? And then every one of these inside of that has that. So you have all of these probability systems on each level. And you have what, at a certain point, you'll see the ones that are the metagalactic level. And the metagalactic level is where we're having issues with the parallel metagalaxy that goes down into the galaxy and the black holes link in the center. And that's where on our parallel, what's called our parallel Vecca, we are in Vecca 5, and they are in Vecca 2. That would be our parallel. They're at 90 degrees. They're actually pulling our system in. So this is just another way of looking at it, but showing not just the bones, but also showing the many, many layers, the wheels within wheels, the spheres within spheres. And these are all probability fields that interact with each other and pass through each other. So there are gate systems between all of these organic ones, and now there's wormholes that don't belong there, too. So it's a really big story.
No doubt about it.
Right. Sometimes I just go. This is just a simple one. After you saw just a little bit, and like these are very detailed. Like we tend to. I think everybody carries little magnifying glasses around with them at this point for any of the chart facts that come out at workshops, because all of these are actually numbers that mean something and words that mean something, right? But you usually need like a micro lens to read it. But this is showing a close-up of the section of that map that we just saw that corresponds to our galaxy. And it's showing how these connect can be translated. These locations can be translated into, like, where is the Milky Way core, okay? If we go and find Milky Way, and this is something like in the science books, right? The local group of galaxies. We got the Milky Way here. We got M31 up here, right? These are those two that used to be together. This is what science already knows by, you know, studying space and the way they study it. The core of Milky Way, they already know, has a black hole in the center of it. The core of Milky Way's black hole would be right here. M31 is right here, and we're in this twisted down offset here in these spheres. So you can literally find us in the maps. And this is how the Adachi masters, they will not use words like time lines and that kind of stuff. They hate the power thing because it's a twist on power. You know, the Lord concept where, oh, Lord and Master, you know, so above. They really just don't come from there. They are adepts. They are adept at what they do. Yes, they have achieved Christ star ascension. But anyway, they use these. These are their coordinate maps. And you know how they use them. Once you get to the point where you ascend, you simply visualize it. It runs the encryption through your field, bang, zoom, you're gone, you're there. Speed of thought. And that's what
So there's a purpose behind showing this, in other words, such that the individuals that see it can then begin to internalize the maps themselves and then start, because there's
going
to
help, it will act, it will bring back their own ancient awareness of these things. Yes, that's why the Guardians wanted to be able to show.
Okay.
That's why we use tons of graphs every time we have a workshop.
Okay.
Yeah. But it helps. I mean, if you can read them forever and kind of go, oh, okay, I kind of get that. We tell people, don't worry about it. Just watch the sequence. And often it is the sequence, because they'll show this graph, then they'll show this, and they create a wave, you know, an activation wave. That if you have the codes that correspond to this in you, if you don't, it won't affect you at all. You say, like, I don't know, whatever, right? But you will start to, it will help you wake up to the, you know, to the ancient knowledge, if you carry
it. Okay, and is there a correspondence in some of the crop circles?
Yes, mm-hmm. To both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them are very not friendly, and some of them are. I remember we were really thrilled when we actually, the Guardians actually said, that's ours, that was only one. There was one, it was a number of years ago, but we actually have a picture of it on one of the covers of our Templar manual thing. Yeah, where is that, Malkiel on that one? Yeah, there in England. Look at this. Oh, this is just showing you, when we talked about the overlap between us and our parallel. Okay. We're back in these maps again. These are called the probability maps. When we look at them with just the balls, without the
and
bows.
When you're calling them probabilities, are you saying that, in other words, that means that certain things could change within these maps? Certain
means
areas
that each
could activate, certain other places could close down?
Yes and no. Yes, but within a parameter.
Okay.
Within a set parameter. After a certain set of things occur, a probability locks in.
Okay.
And then whatever is in that probability must follow through to whatever the natural next point is.
Okay.
And that's what we've been stuck in. We've actually been stuck in this probability system on Earth for ages now, for many
And what you're saying is the probability system here locked in, and that's why they're doing a 200-year evac, as you call it.
The probability locked in when the solar core closed, the sun is dying. All right, and that is going to start at some point. Create, well, red pulse, which is a vapor wave that takes out any life on the planet. And when that event happened, that is something that you can't go backward from. All right, so you are locked into that probability, and then there are various versions of what you might see, but certain things are going to happen, period. And you can't change them, no matter how much you push out and visualize it, right? Or no matter how many people you get together to do a world peace meditation, right? Because
right.
We try to do those too, right, to
yes.
help the grid. Yeah, so we did lock into that probability, and in when the solar gate things happened. The
okay,
fact
but
is,
I'd
in our
also
system,
like to talk about why or how that happened, that the sun did end up in that place, locked in. But we don't need to digress right here. But just
it'll probably get me in trouble if I answer that one fully. Well, don't I always anyway? There's a group of, there are a bunch of different, it's not just Zetas we're talking about. The Zetas are the little guys on the block. Don't worry about them at this point. There's a group called the Thetans, and they also run a very popular movement on the planet. And there's another group called the Borgia. They are from the parallel Akasha, part of the black hole system. They have been trying to get control of the grids here. Everybody's fighting over the Death Star Merkaba, because it's here and it can be activated.
So you're saying
now there's a bunch of systems that are fighting over this, right? Well, they actually tried to activate what's called the Mica, the Mica Mecca complex. The Mica Mecca complex is a set. Mica is on parallel Earth, and the Mecca complex is here, and it is a set of wormholes that connect in through the Thetan grids. There's like certain implants here that the Thetans put in. So they actually tried to blast through to activate that and take it away from the other groups, FA groups, who were actually activating it. And it overloaded the solar core, and that creates a spasm. And when a planet seed spasms, it locks. And when it locks, it cuts the connection to the natural breathing that would happen between it and its dark matter template. And that is when Bardo starts. And the sun entered its Bardo cycle when that occurred. And it was grid wars. If you want to chalk it up to one thing, grid wars, again. This is stuff that is happening, not because nature had it happen or God had it happen. No, this is because people are acting like crazies in this universe. You know, they are. They're just like so far gone in the don't get it anymore that, we all came from the same place and we're supposed to work together peacefully, and you know, this crew just doesn't get it, the ones dealing with these particular...
Okay, but are you talking about, when you say Thetans and other groups, are you talking about off-planet beings that have come here, that are here? Maybe, are they physically incarnating?
Yeah.
Are they taking over bodies, that sort of thing?
Yes, okay. Those two.
Yeah. And then also, what about the ships that we've been seeing near the sun? What are they trying to do?
Depends on which ones they are. I think okay. You have various ones up there. Okay.
But
I just
is there,
ours aren't up there.
I mean,
just our guardian said they're not theirs.
Okay. Right? But if they're there, in other words, if the sun is a done, you know, basically locked into this, then what would be the purpose of having ships there at this time?
Okay, it's got 2012, 2012, 2012. There's an alignment that's occurring in 2012 that has to do with the solar core. And whether or not his praniseed is working, the alignment occurs. It doesn't involve the Rasha body or the dark matter template. They just said it has to do with 2012. I wonder if this has to do with what this workshop's about. Mm-hmm. See, every workshop they reveal another level of something, and this time they're revealing stuff about what they're calling the ancient arrow sites. The 12 plus 24 ancient arrow sites that the Guardians are activating this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll know about it.
That brings us into the wing material, and we want to address that as well at some point.
That's a better point after Monday, because that's what they're going to talk about in this workshop.
Okay, well, there's a synchronicity
there. And I didn't know. They haven't mentioned it since Voyages was written. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just like, you know, looked at some of the pictures, felt the encryption, going, oh, boy, it's that stuff. Okay, pretty good. Thank you. Some of it's all right, but some of it has that twist to it. But all of a sudden, I mean, what is the name of it? I don't have the thing here. It was a really funny title.
No.
they called the workshop the Makers of Wings and Other Things.
Okay.
And it's not just about that. And it's not the people that are involved with the Wingmakers site. You know, these people are well-meaning people, and, you know, it's fascinating, and they're trying to figure out what it is.
Sure.
But it's the particular group of the ETs that they're dealing with. These are a group of Nephilim, all right? They're called the Kortim, and they are part what is called the Necromaton and Rami hybrid with Jehovian Anunnaki, all right? The Necromaton and Rami are known as the Beetle People. Mm. All right. They had a lot to do with ancient Egypt and stuff. Mm. Yeah, and scarab worship and things, because their home form looks like that. Anyway. You may stop. Okay. Just get anyways.
Okay.
Talk about Wingmakers later. Okay.
Okay.
But I don't want to offend any of the Wingmakers people. I'm sure they mean well. But what we didn't know is, so they're saying, okay, we're going to do Wingmakers, so I have to go look up a little bit on it and say, what is this stuff anyway? And it's, you know, all the sites that have the same story, and I have about a 4-second attention span when it comes to stuff I'm really not interested in anyway, unless the Beloveds tell me I have to read it. And there's nothing there that said anything except, oh, there might be a few other sites, there might be seven. The Guardian said they're the seven broken arrows. We'll call them the ancient arrow sites, all of them. They're our sites. They were our sites. There are seven of them that have been compromised, but there are 12 primary plus 24. So we're going to learn about what they are in this workshop. It's news to me, but I have a feeling they're connected to the Spanner gates, the Navajo gates. I just have a feeling. They're the one set of gates they haven't revealed the site, the locations for, except for one.
So you're talking about 24, and that corresponds to the 24 DNA and...
The 24 strands of DNA.
Yeah.
They use 12s and 24s a lot in things like Stargate configurations and that kind of thing. Usually there's primarily 12, and then there's various other increments of 12. And we have to find out what the 24 other sites are. So
okay.
It's like, here we go again. I'm one of the people that really enjoys going to workshops because I like what I learn. Because I don't know the information before I go. I don't know if you know this about the presentations.
No, I didn't.
I'm lucky if I get an itinerary. I've walked in the workshops and gone, well, you know, the orientation night, hello, everybody, thank you for being here. It's one of those mystery workshops, don't know what it's about yet. I don't even have an itinerary.
So right? You get downloads during the workshop?
All during, yeah.
Okay. And,
yeah. And
how
then I go
do you
down and present
it all?
Them. It comes through on a wave, and some
and
of it
they
sticks.
Record it.
Some of it sticks.
Okay.
And diagrams. Diagrams, many, many diagrams.
Okay, interesting. All right,
yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, but it comes through live. It's
okay,
always live.
We're down to 3 minutes,
again?
Believe it or not. I don't know what happened at this hour.
I could probably talk forever.
Yeah, okay.
What we found neat about these is the fact that, first of all, it was in direct response to the techniques that the guardians said to do. And they didn't let us know the first time, right? They said, just do these projection techniques and things. And it was a big surprise, right? And then they told us the calling, how to actually call them, and they showed up again. And they are the intricate ones and that kind of stuff. But it wasn't just like one person with a camera. This was like a whole bunch of different people, some of them the first time at a workshop, you know, saying, do I want to go to workshops or not, you know, getting orb pictures. And it was just like one of those little gifts, you know, from the universe kind of thing. You go, cool, we got orbs. We never looked for orbs. They found us. But now it's becoming important because we're learning a lot more about the orbs and what it means in relation to what needs to be done for 2012.
Okay.
Yeah. They're teaching us how to become orb whisperers, as they say.
And it's hilarious because, like, when we're doing the dancing and drumming circles, you'll see how people be, like, you know, dancing and stuff, and there'll be orbs, like, dancing up on their fingers and
That's
stuff.
That's lovely.
Yeah. This diagram was is a close-up of a certain section of the maps that we showed you before that plug into the, you know, pictures that science draws of the galaxy and that kind of thing. It's showing our Milky Way system and the M31 that we're a part of in our probability set in our VECA. And over here is the parallel VECA. And over in this parallel VECA, there is a cluster of fall systems. That is the black hole system called the Alpha Black Hole System. They've created, as you can see, these probability fields, these balls within balls, overlap each other, right? And in part of their natural configuration, that there is an overlap between them. Well, what the Alpha system is doing in the parallel universe is using the Metatronic Atlantean Death Star Merkaba technology to reverse. If you reverse certain currents using that technology, you can harness a certain part of the field next to you and drag it into your system, and that is what they're trying to do. This place in between here, normally they would just be normal pass-throughs, but this one is all convoluted with all sorts of implant structures that are wormhole structures. They refer to this as the dragon's eye. The word dragon comes in, actually, not because of big winged creatures, but there was a race that got involved with all of this very, very far back in time called the Dragoon. And the Dragoon races took sides over which sides of the fallen ones they were going to side with. And the Dragoon races ended up with some of theirs fallen, trying to help the others. And then you ended up with ones that wanted them all exterminated, ones that wanted just the one side exterminated, ones that just wanted the other. So the dragon races are actually the Dragoon race line. It is a reptilian-based race line, reptilian crossed with what are called equerry. And equerry are a group of the ones that originally were called aquerry before they fell. The aquerry are from the Aquarian matrix that are the hosters, the ones that are helping here. Some of them incarnated into the falling matrices to try to assist. And a group of them had, this is ancient, way like, you know, a couple billion years ago, they got ensnared in one of the fallen angelic dramas, and they ended up falling, meaning they ended up in a fall system and they lost their ascension codes. And the distinction with them is they became the equerry, where they use the E instead of the A on the front.
And do they have a memory? Will they have a memory of when they weren't falling?
It depends on the fall, honestly. It depends on, because the blank slate technology, when this thing does its whole thing, it just completely wipes you clean, where you don't remember anything. You wake up and it's like, yeah, just born here. What am I? Who am I? Where am I? That kind of thing. There are, because that happens when the transition of that fall occurs, because there is a final point of transition when the Death Star Merkaba activates and literally rips you apart and drags you into another field and then kind of assembles you in a facsimile on the other side. There are almost like time capsules that they leave for themselves, so they can refine the memory, and when you refine it and discover it somewhere else, it puts that memory back in. So they will get a facsimile of the memory that, you know, that they would have had otherwise. But the fall codes, once the Metatronic activations in a body have taken place to where those Merkaba fields have activated to a 55 spin or higher, 55 or higher, there's no turning back for the gene code at that point. The consciousness is trapped in that body, and the only way out is a hosted bardo, which means when the body does its natural death thing, it would need help, the consciousness, just getting out of that body, and it would have to go through a rehabilitation process of that Kali-Rama path of step back. and have to come back out and reincarnate into the matrix again to, you know, to try to get back into the ascension thing. So.
Okay. And I'm also going to ask you at some point about what are beings that are like artificial intelligence, but they are not, they don't incarnate. They're, in essence, clones without souls, without, you understand where I'm going with that?
I think so.
So where, because we understand that the dark side is using a lot of those, and actually, you know, sorry to bring this up, but the Wingmaker material talks specifically about a race of, in essence, they call them robots, which are, you could be calling them androids, whatever, mm-hmm. that are actually, we're, according to that material, we're on the way here. Mm. So, at some point, I'd like to address where those
They're
beings,
already here, first
yeah.
of all.
Okay. Go ahead.
If you had to pick between the two, the Cordium and those guys,
yes.
you'd probably want to pick those guys, not the Cordium.
Okay.
Both of them, like, one's as bad as the other as far as their intentions and what they're up to. But yes, there are a lot of different races who have gone in that direction in an attempt to preserve their finite lifespans, where they started with transferring consciousness from an old and dying body into a new cloned body, cloned off their own, like, you know, just make another copy. But the copies get weirder and changed every time, just like a photocopier copy, a copy of a copy of a copy, and eventually you say, what is that? Right. Well, there are races like that. Some of them are already here. As far as invading, I think they're watching too much Caprica. But yeah, seriously. Because in the beginning, that's how it started, you know, before the Galactica series. That's actually something that is, they're showing some of this drama in those series on,
sure.
on TV. But as far as, we've not been, you know, our team has not been warned about anything like that. As far as worrying about that being a problem.
Okay.
It's like, if it is, it's small compared to the rest of the things that are on the plate right now.
Okay.
Because it's not going to matter much if anybody invades if it rolls in 2012, right, the planet, right? It's not going to matter much then because that would wipe out life here. It's not going to roll, though.
Right.
It would have if the intervention wasn't given, like, full tilt roll.
I understand. Okay, so, and we can also talk about that. We can talk about, in other words, what was planned in terms of, are you talking about a pole reversal? Are you talking about a pole shift in which it, the planet itself would roll?
Crust spin.
I'm sorry?
Crust spin,
yeah. And that was planned for 2012, apparently. And you're saying it's been stopped?
Postponed,
yeah, until 2027, is it? 22s?
No, that's 2230.
2230,
yeah.
Okay. And then what's going to happen instead?
We'll talk about that when we get through these pictures, because these pictures will help understand what we're walking into in the first place, or what we're walking around on in the first place. And once we, you know, once we can understand that, then we can talk about, okay, what do you do about that? Especially when they're going to try to activate it and, you know, make all this stuff happen in 2012. There are certain things. I mean, we have really strange titles to some of our workshops. We've got Mirror in the Sky. We've got Orb Fest area. I mean, but they all mean something. There are very specialized grid dynamics that we are being taught so we can anchor the frequencies here of the things that are actually creating buffer fields for some of this. And it's actually the fields that we're helping the Guardians to anchor. And they'd be able to anchor it alone if they were here. But you need an anchoring rod. And that's what our shield, we call it a shield, the group shield, anchors here the frequencies they send in, and they're actually giving a counter pull, so their 55 activation on the Merkaba can't go all the way in 2012. Because if it did, it would spin something called the planetary rods, and we'll see what they are in a little bit. We have a rod and a staff. Actually, we have two rods and a staff on the planet, and they are key energetic configurations. They have to do with vortices and things like that.
Okay.
And they have made the by moving the rods before, they have, well, they moved it from like Pangaea to whatever the next stage was to the next stage. It breaks the crust, and it shifts it depending on what ways you pull the rods, and that. But it, you have extinctions and things happen on the surface when they do that. They're planning to move the rods again in 2012, and we're not the little people on the ground, we're just helping the Guardians to anchor it, but the Guardians are going to stop that temporarily. They can't prevent it, but but they can hold it off long enough for till when the gates close. When the gates close, they have to pull their energy out. When they pull their energy out, that Merkaba is going to activate. And the Metatronic Merkaba, the Death Star, will activate on this planet, or what's left of the planet by now. So that's why evacuation
can be a good
thing.
Okay, and that is sparking more questions, but I'm going to let you go on.
Okay. Right. Okay, anyway, so that was the dragons. I just wanted to show you about that. That's in between our universe, which is really our, they call it the metagalaxy. It's our metagalaxy, Milky Way, and M31, and the parallel. And as the parallel is the alpha system that has the black hole systems there that have wormholed their way through into our system that are trying to pull our system down as quantum food. Okay.
That's, okay,
yeah,
great.
Next one. Mm-hmm. Sure. Going quick, great.
This one is good.
Yeah. It gets into the interesting stuff now, a little closer to home, because we kind of started high in structure, right? Now we're working down. All right, now, so we went from the galactic level, my galactic level. Let's go down to the solar system level. This diagram shows the natural structure of an organic living solar system. Notice, everybody has this little funny shape called, it looks like a star, David, a six-pointed star. That is a Merkaba star, all right? It implies a Merkaba field, which would be a three-dimensional, you know, star tetrahedral field around them, all right? And there would be, they commenced as of 12 planets. They have specific relationships, ratios, and sizes in relation to each other and in relation to their center sun. Every one of them have gates in the center. Every one of them has a central staff of energy that it rotates around. And it has two rods, one coming out, well, the rod comes out this way, and then the chamber comes out front to back, right? The sun would have the same thing. They all have their north pointing up, and their south pointing down, right? They each spin on their axis at a reciprocal rate to each other, and their rods and chambers pass through each other and spark, because the rods can be very, very long energetically. So even though the stars and the planets may be, you know, long distance apart, the energy fields that their rods and, you know, are sending would interface. And when they interface, they spark and they generate quantum. And there are certain periods in the natural breathing cycle or expansion and contraction of energy cycle where there's these wonderful arches that take place between the sun and the tops of its planets and then the planets and the bottom of the sun. It's called the solar symbiosis cycle, and it's a natural living structure of a living solar system. And it generates its own quantum, and it expands and contracts, and all of the planets would have a coronosphere. They would look like stars. That doesn't mean you couldn't live under the coronosphere, but from the outside they would look like stars. Mm-hmm. And our system started out this way after the fall from Tara. There was It was actually taken, the remnants of Tara were taken back in through that Kali Rama step back and reseeded, brought back out, down in density one as this solar system. So that's how we did the fall from Tara. They actually pulled us back in through the Kali Rama path and pulled us, rebirthed this system back out. And it was rebirthed back out in this natural configuration. So that is a natural solar system. And that's what we used to be. Next one. In a natural solar system. Sorry. This is just showing, for instance, with each planet, the natural solar system, you'd have the solar rod, right? And this one would have, it's not shown on this diagram, but you'd have the rod of the planet, and they would exchange energy together, and there would be energy arching through the planet, and there would be energy arching up and down here. There's another diagram that shows it a little better. But this would be, everybody's, notice the north axis would be the same. There wouldn't be an ecliptic, because the north axis on both planet and sun would be pointing up in the same direction. That means, now there's something called the planetary shield, that it's an invisible a platform of energy, that a deflection field that actually forms from the planet spinning, and it's part of the actual Merkaba structure, and it goes horizontal to whatever the vertical is. So you would have this one horizontal, it would be the same horizontal as this one, where they would just be spinning in the same plane. That allows for the natural energy circulation and exchange that's supposed to take place in the living system. I don't know if you've probably looked at places like scientific representation of our system. It doesn't look anything like that. You know, when I think it's Uranus is on its side, whereas it literally rotates on its side. Now, when it's a living system, this would be the natural organic electromagnetic energy flow around a planet. This is called the Yang-Yin flow, and we have half a book, I think, dedicated to these. The Cathara 2-3 manual deals with these heavily, and it shows the formation of them, what they do. You know, these are the natural electromagnetic flows of a living, breathing system that has the capacity to, through its core, interact with other living, breathing systems around it. It's part of the natural structure. Now, this looks nothing like the electromagnetic fields we have around our planet right now, our magnetosphere and those things. All right, there's a reason, and we'll see that in a minute. When a planet's doing what it's supposed to in the solar system, doing what it's supposed to, it goes through periods where it actually, the whole system will disappear because the two Hara bodies that its vector is, you know, it's manifesting within, will pull into the center, recharge, and come back out again. When they recharge, the planets and the whole solar system will go into this configuration of light body, spirit body structure. It's called the Chariot of Fire. And it's literally part of the ascension vehicle. It's not the whole thing, but that's showing some of the dynamics involved in it. Now, we used to be an ascension system. Notice in the Chariot of Fire, there is that Merkabic structure again. Now, this is just a simple Merkaba structure. It's a biveka, which means it has one cone going down and one cone coming up. There's much more complex structures. But this would be the natural kind of thing that if this was a living, breathing system, and same with the galaxy would have the same type of interaction. The galaxy does not have every, you know, its galactic plane is tilted, things are tilted all over the place in the galactic plane, and our solar system is in the same position. The natural ones have these configurations. The flat plane, the solar symbiosis arches, you know, with the breathing between them, the ability to go into Chariot of Fire state. These, this little diagram here that's on the Cathara grid shape, right, that core template shape, it has, at 45 degrees, it has two of its petals. We call this the lotus, right? These are lotus flows, they're core flows, and they allow for, actually, movement of, on these flows, you have a series of spheres, actually, and it allows for the movement of the spheres, so they spark, they generate quantum, and then they open up again. So it's a self-generating system. It's a perpetual motion, continually living system. All right, here, again, are the Yan-Yun flows, the natural ones, the natural Merkabic structure with a straight shield, deflection shield, and natural Merkaba. So that's what it's supposed to look like. And let's go back to the solar system level. This is a bit messy because I've never had this one typeset. But at the moment, this is our solar system. In the center there, you have the inner planets, right? We'll look at Earth in a minute as far as how it's sitting in a solar plane that gives us the ecliptic and all of that. This is the Oort cloud that is, you know, out in space around our system. What should have been Nibiru, our 12th planet, not our 10th, it was our 12th planet, I believe Chiron was our 11th, and then Pluto, and then where the asteroid belt is, there was another one called Maldok, and that exploded. So this is a mess. This solar plane is twisted here where you have Pluto's orbit, right? That's already going wacky out this way. Then you have Nibiru that actually comes in, I forget, I have the date somewhere, every 3,600 or something like that years. On the other end of it, there is another, it's an artificial body that was actually created by squashing together fragments of planetoids and things, and partially pieces of the moon as well. This one is called Wormwood, and it was meant to counterbalance the orbit of this, and they go in and out of the density 2, I think, Cirrus system. I think that's where they said it was. I have it written down. I haven't done the Nibiru stuff in a long time. But it's literally a cycling machine that was their watchtowers here. And it wasn't just so they could come in and watch us every 3,000 years or, you know, see new information. It was to counterbalance this one. On this one, we have over here, what is the names on here? I haven't looked at these names. The Maitreya moon. And up here, I believe, was the Clarion. These were other bodies taken from elsewhere to create this. They've literally created this. These are beings that are moving planets. They're moving stars. They're like, we're worried about little grays? Seriously. At this point, whatever, go ahead and abduct me. You know, jeez, you'll be sorry. I'll fight back this time. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, the thought of the scale of what is going on here, this is not natural. We don't see this one yet. It was due to come back in, actually, not Nibiru. Nibiru is not due for, I forget, it's like a couple thousand years still. But Wormwood was going to be coming back in. Fortunately, Wormwood in 2003 became Wormwoods because it was shattered. It was down. It was going into the orbit of parallel Earth at the time, because the parallel Earth is connected in here, the orbits of that, which we'll see later in other stuff. But it was at least shattered, but it is still a massive asteroid belt, or not belt, but mess. And it still potentially can come back in. If it does, it creates total havoc when it comes in. These orbits come in, I believe it's between Mars and Jupiter, I think is where they pass up. And it causes a bit of havoc on the system. When full rip is allowed, where they come in at a certain level of density, because there's a way they play with the dimensions here, where they can bring them in without totally tipping the system, without, you know, totally wiping out the solar system. That's why they've been able to do this cycle before. But when the full gates are open, and they allow this in a stellar activation cycle where they're activating the 55 Merkaba, it will actually, these will be used to flip the whole plane and drag it in. And that's, they're literally, I don't know what kind of game you would call this, but they're literally using very advanced physics.
So are you saying that they're all artificial bodies? Are you saying that Nibiru or
No,
Wormwood,
that was one of the natural planets. Or
that was
stars
natural.
From this, yeah.
Okay, what about Earth? Wormwood?
No, that was created. I think part of it were pieces of the moon and something else. I remember they told us about that a while ago. The moon is not a normal body either. That's artificially created
yes.
as well. And it, because it keeps certain things at certain spin rates that they have to keep in order to keep the vortice connections to the wormholes. And that's why this whole thing is none. That's why our solar system is such a mess, because they were creating wormholes.
Okay, what about a brown dwarf? Is there a brown dwarf in there?
Possibly. I know there's white dwarfs. Like Cirrus B, brown dwarf. It's possible. I would have to ask them.
Okay, so the other axis that you've got there, there are two other planetary bodies.
Yeah.
What are they called?
This one they call the Maitreya moon.
Okay.
And it was like a long time ago, a number of years ago, that they gave this particular information. So it's probably somewhere back, either like in the writings or on the videos, where they explain, you know, what is Maitreya? You know, where'd that come from? Because some of this stuff they actually dragged in from the parallel system. To, you know, to counterbalance it. Clarion, this one up here, was related to, I think it was a piece of the other one that's, what was that? There's Clarion and there's the other one that was a normal part of here, Chiron. All right, so you have Clarion up here that I think was a piece of Chiron. Chiron used to be one of the normal ones, and I think it was, you had Nibiru, Chiron, it was 11. Chiron used to be 11. But what's called Chiron now got stuffed down in here. Part of it got broken off, became the Clarion thing that they're using up here. And you have one of these controlled by the WISADEX black hole system, which was the WISA matrix that I had pointed out on those maps. You have WISADEX and WISADRAX, and they don't like each other. They're fighting. You have the Anunnaki and the Omicron Draconians. They don't like each other, and they're both fighting. And then you have WISADRAX that like the Draconians, and you have the WISADEX that like the Anunnaki. I mean, it's hilarious. It's sad. It's really just sad. But there are a whole bunch of groups on each side of this polarity drama. Then you have the Christians sitting in the middle going, oh, boy. You know? Like, we're not fighting with anybody, but what do you do when everybody's hell-bent on destroying each other? Because that's what's been happening down here for eons. So anyway, this is what our solar system looks like up here. This artificial, it's like a wobbling orbit. It's not just our planet that wobbles. There is actually a wobble created in the solar plane itself. It's actually taken the solar plane where it doesn't sit flat in the galactic plane anymore. I think it's around a 45-degree tilt to the, you know, to the galactic plane. And also created this thing here that through the core, and especially in the closer to the core planets like Earth and the Sun, it has harnessed how fast things spin, which means it's harnessed the time pulse. So it could, through this device, they have been able to progressively get control over how fast things spin, so they can synchronize the spins of things over here with the things that they're trying to merge them with on the parallel side. It's a bizarre and fascinating and horrifically morbid technology, that star technology. Now, what that creates on a planetary level, when we look at our poor little Earth sitting in the middle of this, and it's not just that this has happened on the solar level. They've also put the same type of mechanisms in the planetary core and in the stargate systems here to create the same effect, to plug our planet into that whole system. They've done it on the other planets too, the ones that don't have anything that has its axis that's not tilted the same as the sun. is either in its normal place and the sun got tilted, which is part of the case here, or it's not in its right place, because they should all be sitting on a natural, you know, vertical and horizontal plane with each other. This is what we have right now. And, like, the science tells us this is normal and this is natural. You know, well, our planet's tilted about 23.5 degrees and it does this cycle called the precession of the equinoxes. And, you know, we've got the ecliptic shield, you know, that cuts through. You know, the sun's shield is here and ours, you know, comes here. This is totally twisted. This, our planet is tilted. This messes up its entire system. It's not just tilted. This one here shows at least a relatively normal-looking cathartic grid inside. There's a whole set of unsacred, not sacred geometries that go with the Death Star Merkaba stuff. It has to do with the shapes of the flows. Where before we had, I talked about those, the arms that, you know, the petals that stood out like this, and they're 45-degree angles, and they phase and spark and generate quantum, right? There's another one that has them pulled down like this, where they look much more like a flower. We call it the Daisy of Death or the Bloom of Doom, but they're phase-locked, where they can't phase, and that means it can't generate quantum. It means it's a planet that is dying because it can't breathe. And that's one of the things, and it constricts the cathartic grid at the center. And so something, I think we have one that shows that what that also does is create a bulge at the equator where it squashes the natural spherical shape down.
Hello, is there also a correlation with the cross? In other words, the actual symbol of the cross reflecting what is, in essence, this frozen inability to...
Yes, yeah. Yes, and even more. That has to do with the mutation of natural Shalaya light units into forcing them into the Vesica Pisces dead light unit configuration, the sign of the cross.
Yeah.
The original cross has perfectly equal, and it's called the Ruche, and it has perfectly equal. I think the Celtic cross is the closest you get these days as far as symbology.
And it fits inside a circle, in other words, because then you know it's...
Yeah, I don't have mine on. Anybody have one on? It's one of our sacred symbols. So this is, right now, we have, this is all part of the mechanics of the Death Star Merkaba technologies. We have the unnatural precession of the equinoxes. This is called the sextant shield. It's actually it's a distortion shield of energy that keeps those vortices spinning at their, you know, tilted anchor. It keeps us aligned with, we flip between being aligned with Polaris, which we are in that phase now, and flipping back into alignment with Vega. And we just keep cycling back and forth and wobbling back and forth in the precession of the equinoxes, and they're not normal. They just released, when was Ireland, November last year? They just released some fascinating things about the old pagan rites and stuff and what this actually has done in its relationship with parallel Earth. This was done for a reason. The cycles of the equinoxes and the solstices have to do with alignments between parallel Earth and here and between parallel Earth and the center of the Milky Way galaxy, the black hole there. And that's what we're looking at coming up on in 2012. And that's why 2012 was, you know, the Mayans got the word it was going to be the end of times and those kind of thing because of the dark road. Yeah, the dark road, all right. So these things, these configurations that we're seeing, the sextant shield is not the natural clock or shield, that the natural spin ratio that you would have for the planet on its axis. They actually have been accelerating time for the last 13,000 years to make it faster so it would catch up with the parallel antiparticle universe so they could merge them. And it means our days have gotten shorter, our spin has gotten faster as far as on the planet and that kind of thing. There's other aspects to this that are created by this technology, and all of these go together, right? Like, when you see one, it implies the others. This is our poison apple. This is the net field. Okay, now part of the poison apple isn't shown here. I'll show that on this one. But this is literally a containment net. It is a shona, which means that made of Biveka light units instead of living light units, containment harness. And this is what the Death Star Merkaba actually creates around a planet, a system, or a body. When you work those Merkaba mechanics, this is what you create, and it's a torsion field that constantly circles energy in on itself, but does not have a connection to anything outside of itself, except of what it can feed off at its center from its core. And this is there are three levels of this that actually move in Earth's atmosphere, and they can literally control. One of them runs through like the magnetosphere area, and actually there's three others down from that, so there's really four major layers of this. It controls, it reminds me of that whole thing, we control the vertical, we control the horizontal. Remember that show that used to sit, I think Outer Limits or something used to say that on TV? Well, it's kind of like, yeah, they pretty much do. All of these net systems are plugged into things like the HARP machine, and I'm sure the Hadron Collider has something to do with activating all of these too. I heard they just had their first good test yesterday or something. Yeah, this week, good timing. Right. Full activation, yeah. So these net fields are responsible for literally wiping out the DNA. Science has already figured out that DNA is sensitive to a couple of things. It's sensitive to radiation that can destroy DNA. It's sensitive to magnetism, electromagnetism. You mess with the magnetic fields, you mess with the DNA. That, just like it's blocking the natural currents and flows that would normally come into the planet, it does the same thing to the biologies on this planet. This is why we have no memory. It's wiped it right out of the DNA. It's actually still in there. It's in junk DNA, it's in pieces. That's what we're working with the technologies that the Guardians have to reassemble. And it does it through controlling the epigenetic overlay, which is the chemical sheath the science is just learning actually triggers how genes will behave in the DNA. Right? So it's a combination of both. But this is why we have no memory of our race memory or any of that. And this is what is holding the mutation in the body. Right now, our own biofields and the biofields of the life forms on the planet carry all of these same mutations. We carry these, we carry the wobbling vortices, we carry the phase-locked, you know, bloom of doom in their flows and all of that. And if we are going to ever get out of here while we have time left, the gates are open. It's amazing the gates are even open or even still usable after all of this. But we need to reverse mutate our bodies. And we have been working for 10 years with that. We've worked through the light body layers, we've worked through the spirit body layers, now we're into something called the Ajé body layers. That they're kind of, the Ajé body is interesting, it's like a combination between the spirit body and the light body and the atomic body, that once you master that, it allows you to actually do the transfiguration and turn into light. And for the first stage of that is called glide, where you learn to bilocate, where you put yourself in an orb. And you go elsewhere and bilocate and then come back. But you still leave a body here. The second stage is what we're working on now, is called translocation, where you get to the point where you can do a certain level of transfiguration of a certain quantum of your atoms into light temporarily, so you can go visit elsewhere and take your body with you, but you'll still be keyed to the space-time imprint or encryption of this planet until a certain other thing happens, right? So that's called a slide, slide one. The third thing is called slide two, or span. That's called where you learn how to not just translocate, where you're going to visiting and then come back, but transmigrate, where you actually can be free and you do not have to come back here, you don't have to incarnate back here. That has to do with releasing something called the Vabadi cell. That is the donated quantum from the egg and sperm of your parents. That was not your spirit body encryption. That has to be released before you can be freed from the space-time location in which those two things came together. It gets released as what's called the body dust, right? So there's this whole process, anyway, involved with it. While we have this going on, we are literally, the planet is keeping us mutated because the visitors are keeping the planet mutated. And at this point, good luck fixing the planet, because look at the solar system, look at the galaxy. This problem is going on all the way up into the galactic level. And there's a certain point where the quantum that is going down is larger than the quantum that can pull it back. And that is what's occurring. And that's why there's 200 years left on the gates, as far as 200 years Earth time.
Okay, but isn't it true that the planet is a being?
Yes.
And also is going to be able to escape this?
It chose the path of Kali Rama, which is the step back path.
Right. So instead it's of the going path to of implode fall. And then reemerge.
Yeah. It'll go back into that middle density that happens to be called the edons. Out here the density, remember when we, I don't have one really easy, yeah I do. On this graph. Let me get my stickies off there. When we have the Hara bodies, right? And we had the core, the inner, the middle, and the outer domains. They each have names. This outer domain area where we are now, where we're experiencing the Kali Yuga, that is called a radon, right? And this one is called an edon. And then this one, the inner one, is called an adon. And the core is called, what is it called? I can't remember. It's been so long since I taught this. It's the core. Leave it at the core. But anyway, you've got the dance, right? So this is the Garden of Eden, right? It's the step back to where it is innocent and pure. When you do the step back, it clears anything off your encryption that didn't belong there in the first place. And it's literally, it's they call it passing through the ring of fire in order to get back into the purity. And then you get to come back out again and try again. Or at least you get
okay,
to try again.
Okay, but I also have a question. It was, where is Tara in this equation? Because...
Okay. All right, well, part of Tara is what we're sitting on. The solar system is part of Tara. The other part of Tara is when we look up in the sky and see Alcyone, the star Alcyone in the Pleiades cluster. All right, that is the remnant of what Tara was. So if you take Alcyone and take the quantum of this solar system here, minus the few bits that they put in that didn't belong here, that weren't from here, and you put all that quantum together, you would have had Tara.
Okay,
in density 2.
But my understanding was there was going to be, that once there's an ascension group that's going to leave here and go to Tara.
That was before the Bridgestone project failed.
Oh.
That failed in 2003.
I see.
So at this point, the Voyagers books, we have, you would not believe what we have been moving through since that. We're on mission upgrade 44, 45. Yeah, I have a list of them somewhere. Yeah, just because it's amusing to look at, right? For you to see, oh my God, there's been that many mission upgrades. First, there was the attempt to salvage. This is all the stuff they're trying to do before the thing happened with the sun. Once that happened, there's nothing that can be done at that point. But we still have ascension, but it's like the fly by the seat of your pants. Keep these gates open, and you've got 200 years to get anything that's going up out of here. And that's what's happening at this point. So Voyagers was written 10 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. A lot has happened.
Well, okay, so, but my mind's going too many places at once here. But if they're not going to Tara, and maybe you're getting to this, then where are they going? And are they going back to Alcyone or jumping where? Or is that, you know, they're making up their minds?
They're going home. There's a few steps to get there. M31.
Oh, okay.
Andromeda Galaxy.
Oh.
That's where we're aiming back. But there's a few steps in between. The first set of steps has to do with something simply called higher Earth. We're in the lower Earth planes. There are a set of planes that are still in predicaments. They're still connected to this mess that we've been looking at. But they're in much better shape. They're not under the net. And that's the first stage where we go to higher Earth. Then there's a level beyond that that's still part of the Earth plane's quantum that's called Median Earth. Then, if we go back to remembering when they were telling us about the history of how they seeded the Amenti rescue mission in and created a solar system, there was a host star here that Amenti Earth had been seeded into, and that was called Ashele. So that will be the next stage. And from Ashele, we'll move through... there's another layer that has to do with the level of energy called the Eridanus layer that we don't really have to get into because it gets very complicated as far as different types of energy. But it's another set in between before we get to Eartha in M31. But that is where we're going. And from there, that's where originally the encryption here emerged from. From there, you can go where you want, basically. Mm-hmm. But it's a process of getting, of re-evolving back to where we can do full Christar. You know, evolution on our own, because right now we're being hosted, you know, we're being given frequency to support us in the process until we can hold that frequency ourselves. So Tara was where we were aiming until the Bridgestone project failed, and at this point in this system, since those books were written, there were intergalactic wars that were taking place here that involved what was called the Eka. And the Eka is, if you remember the maps that showed one Cathara grid and then four of them together with the thing at the center, right? Mm-hmm. The thing at the center is the Eka. That's a little Cathara grid, and that's like for Earth, it would be like the inner Earth would be there and that kind of thing. It wouldn't be in here. It's actually up there. It's like a high level. That actually fell in one of these wars. Ekas can fall. The Akasha above it can't, but the Eka did.
But what happened to the beings that were there?
They've gone into various places. There, some of them are in the state of here. They're doing evac. This whole system, the Vekka system, is actually being evacuated. So going vertically, the usual way, wasn't an option anymore. That's why they had to take us from just going into harmonic Merkaba states or harmonic ascension states into transharmonic, where we could actually go through and in to into the like the Edon domain. There's a space between the radon and the Edon. It's called the Aurora Continuum. You have to have a transharmonic Merkaba ability to be able to go through there and then come back out again someplace else. So that is the technologies they're teaching us, because vertical is not an option anymore unless you want to end up in one of the wormhole sets going on into the fall. So it's been a really rough trip since the books were written, actually. But we're all still standing, and the Guardians are still giving us the information. So I'd rather leave on a happier note, though.
Okay.
Before we do a break.
That's okay. Well, let's keep going.
It's not much happier. Okay. As far as the poison apple fields go, this one shows the shape better. You have that net field around it, but see that little shape right there? Looks like an apple.
Yes.
That's the shape of our magnetic fields, the basic shape of our magnetic fields, even though
there's
flux
a crop
all
circle
over.
That looks like that.
Lovely. Hi, Metatron. This thing here, right? A lot of people are using that as their logo these days, right? Yeah.
And that
is the phase-locked arcs, the cant phase. With the constricted, if you look at it, you can look at this more closely if you want to. You can see the difference. There's two cathartogens there. One, the artificial tree of life, which is taking the natural proportions and pulling them in, where it actually squeezes it. And that changes the shape of the sphere and gives you a bulge at the equator like our planet has. Because that is the configuration our planet has in light body right now.
Interesting.
And this is also connected to something called Metatron's cube and something called the Fibonacci spiral.
And what is this center bit right there?
This? I'll make a little center bit.
The dark.
Is that a black hole or?
No, that is another one of their twisted, we call them cathara centers, but we know that on our grids, these are actually stargates, right? All right, let you take this down into the planet, and that's where you got Stargate connections. All right, and these are twisted ones. So these would line up with the stargates that interfaced with the Amenti gates to harness the Amenti gates. So that's just one of them here. But if you look at that, if you look at the teachings that goes with that logo, you'll be amazed to see how it fits and relate when it sits next to what eternal life creation is. All of the shapes that they've shown us, they've showed us how they fit together, what the processes are that they work from. They don't just say, here, there's a that. You know, that's a sacred. Why is it a sacred? It does what? Right? They've shown how the pieces fit together, what the processes are, and then they've shown how those things, what they do to that structure. And so, anyway, there's all sorts of pieces that show we've had to do this because this is what is taking down the planet, these dynamics, and people now practicing them again, just like in Atlantis. It's like Atlantis rising again. It really is the same. How do we get in this predicament?
Very much
look around you. Same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gullibility on a certain level, or, oh, sure, I'll try that, right? Not wanting to hear it if somebody's trying to say, maybe you want to think about that first. How the same way that right now you have a whole New Age movement that was supposed to be a movement of enlightenment and everybody loving each other, being a bunch of backbiting people practicing anti-Christian Merkaba mechanics that are harming themselves and harming the planet. How did that happen? You know? Same question for Atlantis. How did
it
happen?
But there's also the misuse of crystals that I'd love you to talk about a little bit at some point if you are willing.
There's all sorts of really strange things being done with crystals. I think I'd probably rather get through this stuff, and that's kind of like,
yes,
that's kind of like orbs.
You know, have
crystals, orbs, tarot cards, no. Yeah, I like tarot cards. I'd like to design a deck, actually. They're really good for just letting spirit comment to you, give you waking dream material back to you. Yeah. Now, crystals are another subject, and we do take them seriously. They're very powerful beings, actually, and they can be used in terrible ways. And right now, speaking of crystals, it was really funny because right around here, about 2002, the Guardians were starting to teach us about the Niberian diadic crystal bases that are here. They're subterranean crystal installments that were planted here and actually seeded from Nibiru and used to create, literally spike the grids to receive Niberian frequency and to receive wormhole frequencies and that kind of thing. Now, all of the crystals in the world, under our world, are like that, but some are. Right when we were being given this information, this lady appears in one of the workshops, and she says, I've seen him. I went there. And she brought photos, and it blew my mind. Look at this. This was Leela.
Yeah.
She actually was one of the few that got to go down there
because
she knew the scientists.
I think they're in Mexico?
Yeah, this Chihuahua. Yeah, and there's many others like that, actually, on the planet.
Okay.
But these are one. This one was one that was seeded. It's an Iberian cluster, actually. Yeah. So.
But what happens to the people that go inside there, though? It must be pretty intense.
Well, they don't die from the heat. It's like 107 degrees. Yeah. Yeah, it's really bad. Frequency-wise, well, they were, you could do interesting things with those. Now they're not so bad because the guardians have worked in a way that has recalibrated them because there's been a whole bunch of deals and treaties going on because the ones that broke the original Treaty of Altair that was talked about in the Voyager's book, they found that they lost that round, and the other ones are going to take them over and take over their grids. So a bunch of them handed their grids back over to us and kind of, we'll be nice now. Right? It kind of comes down to a split between the Anunnaki and the Drax, right? And the Drax, you have Omicron Draconian, you have Odetacron Reptilians, and a bunch of others. And then on the Anunnaki side, you have the Tothian Anunnaki, and which are like the snake people, and you have the Jehovian Anunnaki and a number of others. And then you have the Weesas taking sides. You have the Weesadrax.
And what about the Syrian Anunnaki? Where do they fit in?
You have, they can come both Jehovian. There's some Jehovian ones.
Okay.
And like Nibiruan ones are primarily Tothian, but not all. Anunnaki tend to hang together. And then the really fancy Anunnaki gene code are the Enochians, all right, where they took both Anunnaki groups and created a master race. Right, gene line. All right, so the Enochian Anunnaki. Yeah, they're usually high Illuminati guys, you know, running around with 33rd degree pluses and things.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, it's cool. Yeah, takes a village.
Okay, yeah, well, we could get into more detail on that, but I guess let's move on. Should we take a break now, or do you want to go to the end?
Yeah, why don't we take a break? Because
okay.
I've hit that spot where we get into the planes of Earth, which gets fascinating, because this is where we get into the spherical maps and the vertical maps going up and down from the core up into the atmosphere. And we start finding out where we're going to learn to orb to, and eventually where that space is going to become physically solid as well as this space. So we'll be able to move through, and that's what our teachings are teaching us how to do.
Go home.
Yeah.
Sonar.